find yourself in danger when you're threatened by a stranger. When it looks like you will take a licking, there is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you.
Call out for Super Ficken.
But if you're afraid, you'll have to overlook it.
Besides, you knew the job was fucked up when you took it.
He will take a super truck and throw the bad guys for a loss, and he will bring the kid alive and kick it. There was one thing you should learn, when there was no one else who turned.
Call out for Super Dickin. Call out for Super Ficken. Greetings, Zogling, Wigger, and Manzerath farms across the fruited and nutted Zog Plain, in the open-air, coast-to-coast nut house that we call Zog Babylon, the third and the final. This is episode number 63 of The Movement Turd, and right now I'm recording it really almost a week after the chat was done on 27th of March of 2011. Today it's April 3rd right now, and folks, I just got overwhelmed last week simply by answering the Missouri Republican Party questionnaire, or the motion to dismiss, in my Church of Jesus Christ Christian Aryan Nations of Missouri versus Barack Hussein Obama et al. And that's what this episode is going to be called, episode number 63, Answering the Missouri Republican Party. Now, the Missouri Republican Party has pretended to be for white people, but essentially all it is just the corporate Jews. When they talk about right wing, they're talking about representing, well, protecting the right of Jews to live off of white people, in order to exploit us, in order to do whatever the hell it wants to, as opposed to the Democrat Party being overtly against white people. The Republican Party pretends to be for white people, but still betrays us nevertheless. And folks, I learned a long time ago that you have to get rid of your false friends and your traitors before you're able to deal with the enemy. The Democrat Party is overtly against the white man. Fine. But the Republican Party pretends to be for the white man. Instead, it is for the Jew and for the Shabbos Wigger and the rest. They want to go ahead and exploit us. Now, looking today, they're talking about doing away with Social Security, and they're talking about doing away, of course, with Medicare. And, folks, these programs were stolen from by both Democrat and Republican alike. And now they're talking about, essentially, taken in for, you know, all this money that people put in order to be stolen from, in many cases, by the Republicans on behalf of Jews. So when you hear all this stuff that's going on, don't believe a word of it. It's a lie. But you had this Republican Party lawyer showing up on the 15th, and I had to answer it by the 1st. And I pulled a next-to-last-minute all-nighter on Wednesday night, Thursday morning, and I got the thing mailed off Thursday, so I answered it just in time. I didn't have to drive to Springfield, which is good. I got my hours all screwed up again, but never mind that. I'm going to get this episode of the Movement Turd out, and I'll get on Thursdays. I did a chat room as well. I have a number of new songs in this particular show. But, folks, the Republicans are out to cheat you. Why? They pretend to be for white people, but you had this worthless bastard talking about how I had unclean hands because I was a white supremacist. I was a white racist. Now, look, fat-ass Republican. Now, the lawyer for it is a young, thin weasel. Looks like a little Anglo mestizo, part Duke, whatever. And you had, you know, named Robert Hess. And it just goes to show that this Hush Blackwell is nothing more than 600 lawyers of an international law firm. And these lawyers need to be done away with. They need to be skinned alive. They need to be rendered down for their thieving ways. The Chinese have enough sense to go ahead and kill and eat rats that they catch in the corn. Well, we need to kill and render down lawyers and feed them to their beloved niggers and Jews, throw them all in a cage and shove them out to Mudville, to Mudland. They don't belong in our country. And by that I include Whigger or Anglo-Mestizo lawyers. They're parasites, they're predators. And I pretty well chewed ass on this particular Republican. But when the check came through, I wasn't quite sure what I was going to do. I had a pretty good idea what I would say. I said it a little bit nicer than what I had intended to, but I did get the thing out. So, folks, we have a number of new shows. Hunter Wallace, he came back. He's publishing a number of things. And you had this woman who, in the latest Hunter Wallace episode, said she was tired of Whiggers. So I conduct her to a Whigger problem. So, folks, let's go ahead and play the theme song for this particular show. We don't have a Jew, or we don't have a nigger problem. We don't have a beaner problem. We don't even have a Jew problem so much as we have a Whigger problem. Because until we take care of Whiggers, there is no solving this problem that ails us. None whatsoever. Whiggers are traitors. They want to die, and they want to make us die too. And they need to die first. So, folks, I'll cover that in just a second. And for now, let's just say hail victory. And let's just go ahead and get on to the show. This is going to be about a 3, maybe 4-hour show. It's going to be a bit of a long one. But it's been cut up in segments, and I've finally figured out how to join them together. So hopefully you'll enjoy this show and these segments, even though it's a bit late. Hail victory. Yes, I admit we got a Whigger problem. Whiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, the ways you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a Whigger problem. Till the drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating crop. I wake up and right away, if they wiggle come to mind. The way they run to and fro, if the wiggles you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a Whigger problem. Whiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, sister Whiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a Whigger problem. Build the drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating crop. Whiggers keep remembering how good God used to be. Being taught long ago, our freedom's memory. Yes, I admit we got a Whigger problem. Whiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, the Whiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a Whigger problem. Till the drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always easy to drop. The way they run to and fro, and they're always easy to drop. Okay, greetings, Zogling, Zoglings across the food and nut plane. This is the segment the Movement Turd, in which I go ahead and talk to Russ Walker. I got him on the phone right now. And this is episode number 63. And today is the... What today is? It's the 27th of March. How you doing, Russ?
Fine. How are you, sir?
Oh, well enough. I got a bunch of legal stuff, and now I'm finally going to have to answer it. I'm going to have to answer the Missouri Republican Party's... oh, nonsense. They have not showed up, and I served them...
Has the complaint been served?
Oh, yeah, the complaint was served. The amended complaint was served. I served them way back on March 30th of last year when I was trying to run as a candidate for United States Senator as a Republican. They refused to allow me to run as a Republican, and they have not answered any of the summons, and they get all annoyed because this Jew judge, he got, on the 16th, he got booted off my case because the head judge of the circuit said it don't look good for a Jew to be judging a case in which the lead and really only plaintiff is the Church of Jesus Christ Christian Aryan Nations of Missouri. It don't look good to have a Jew judging an Aryan Nations case. So they kicked them off.
Did they ever file an answer?
Huh?
Did they ever file an answer?
They filed an answer on the 15th. Well, I'm wondering how they knew to file an answer on the 15th, and I think that pretty well the little Jew judge or whatever has been telling these little defendants that they don't need to answer my service, they don't need to answer my lawsuit, and he decided to go ahead and answer my lawsuit because he knew the Jew judge was going to be kicked off, and the Jew judge has hidden the case to where you can't see it.
Did you petition the clerk to enter a default?
Not yet.
You should have. If they didn't answer that complaint within 20 days, on the 21st day, plus a day or two from mailing, whatever the deal is, you should have petitioned the clerk to enter a default.
Well, I actually want this case to be heard. See, the thing about it is that I don't believe in democracy. I don't believe in any of this crap that they go ahead and tell us is so wonderful.
I agree with you, but if they had entered a default, they could have not pled anymore. They couldn't have done anything unless they listed the default. But anyway, what's the...
Well, I'm going to use Connolly versus Gibson's to point out. I mean, these people are whining, and I haven't. I'll go ahead and send you a copy of what's been going on and my proposed answer. And I really look forward to your answer because you've drafted yeah, totally different stuff than I would draft.
Connolly versus Gibson basically deals with discovery, if I remember right.
No. It doesn't deal with discovery. What it deals with the fact that the federal rules, the civil procedure, are designed so that cases should be brought to trial, and it's not to be essentially a haggling case between lawyers as to who can write the best dismissal. The best dismissal, complaint. Essentially, it says that cases are supposed to be tried by juries, not by attorneys arguing. Yeah, and essentially, it's a means to protect sort of pro se plaintiffs. Now, usually, almost never do pro se plaintiffs ever win. In fact, it's designed for lawyers. The whole purpose of the judicial system was essentially let the government do whatever the hell it wants to do, but to pretend that we have rule of law when we don't. Correct?
Oh, it's illusion. That's right.
It's all illusion. Zog, people say, well, why don't Zog arrest you for what you say, Lister? You must be an agent provocateur. And I point out that I never hide my hatred and contempt for Zog Babylon. Never hide it one bit. But what Zog Babylon is scared of is that people will be just like they're overseas. See, they know, you think your average Libyan doesn't know that Muammar Gaddafi is a dictator?
Of course they know it.
They know he's a dictator, right?
Of course he is.
And essentially they sort of know that Muammar won't dick with them unless they do something that threatens old Muammar's power or interests, right? Usually if they behave themselves, they're good little people,
like
they go to work.
Yeah.
Muammar isn't interested in putting him in jail, is he?
No, not normally.
No, not normally. your average dictator, he's not interested in going after.
Not threatening them. That's right. Same
yeah,
thing.
Not threatening
them. The same way.
But see, in this country, they're out to murder the white man. They're out to take his property. They're out to destroy him. But they've got to pretend. They've got to pretend, don't they, that we're living under the most wonderful form of government possible. You know, they love playing that little game. And what I seek to do is, I'm running as an open racist. I get about a little bit over 2%, somewhere between usually average about 2.5%. Sometimes I get closer to 3, sometimes I get a little bit over 2. But essentially, I'm not going to win any election because I'm, essentially tell people what I'm for.
Sure.
Now,
you can't handle the honesty.
Well, most of the people, they talk about how they want honest politicians. No, they don't want honest politicians.
Right.
They want lying politicians who will steal from somebody else to give to them. Right now, I'm running for school board, and I sent out an answer to the school board, and I might discuss that later with you, but this particular lawyer said that I have unclean hands because, guess what? I'm a racist. I should not have any right to run for office, should have no right to vote, should have no right to do anything. Well,
unclean hands is an equitable doctrine that you have no equitable standing if you've done something wrong or something else.
Well, yes, I've done something wrong. I'm a racist.
Well,
I'm so. I'm a white racist. I am supposed to be. Essentially, I'm supposed to understand these Republicans are wonderful, wonderful, wonderful people, and how they're not for racism. Now, the Republicans will pretend to be for racism, but essentially they want to go ahead and pretend that they're for the white people, but they don't want overt white men like me running and actually doing something for white people, like getting the government off their back. Now, what I'm going to answer, I have to answer that by the 1st of April, April Fool's, and I have to answer the non-Jew judge by the 11th, and why the case should be dismissed. And what I'm thinking of doing, Russ, is say, look, I knew this case was a loser when I filed it. I went ahead and filed it on behalf of the Aryan Nations of Missouri versus President Obongo. And I said, it's a hell of a deal when a nigger who isn't even a citizen of this country gets to run for president when a white man like me who is a citizen or a subject of this country is not allowed to run for governor or sheriff. Now part two essentially pointed out that here is Zaw getting down on Russia and China and Iran and Zimbabwe for not holding open, free, fair, honest elections. Why, in Zimbabwe, when I was in the Nut House in 2007-2008, this old nigger named Robert Mugabe was beaten to death and killing all these people who were supporting his opponent, Morgan Tsvangirai. And eventually old Morgan had to run to the Dutch embassy in Harare, or wherever the capital of Zimbabwe is.
Right, Harare is correct.
It used to be
Salisbury.
It used to be,
Salisbury.
Yeah, it used to be, okay, someone has asked me if I intended to run as an independent. We have the chat going right now. The fact of the matter is, you can run as an independent write-in, but you never get any votes here. I want to run as a party candidate. Now, back in 1944, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in the case of Smith versus Allwright that Lonnie Smith, a nigger Texas sharecropper, got to vote in the primary election, the Texas Democratic primary election, even though the Texas Democrat primary election said, and state law said, that non-whites were not allowed to have a ballot because these political parties were private. And we're private organizations. And the Supreme Court ruled, no, they're not private organizations. They want to have power. They want to have government power. Therefore, they've got to allow niggers to vote. Well, go back 62 years later in 2006. You have Traitor Glenn Miller deliberately running in Missouri. And these political parties will not allow him, as a, quote, white supremacist, to run on either the Democrat, Republican, or Libertarian Party ballot. And here in Missouri, you have to, in order to run, you have to pay the political parties, not the treasurer of Missouri, a fee. You have to pay these political parties in order to run on their ballot. But what they've done is that they're not allowed, according to the Supreme Court, to not allow niggers not to run. But if you're a white man, if you're a white supremacist, if you're a white racist, well, guess what? You're not allowed to run. And what I'm going to go ahead and tell this Jew judge, or no, this non-Jew judge, is I don't really care. I mean, essentially, if the white man is not allowed to run for federal or state office, and other white people, other white supremacists are not allowed to vote for a white supremacist candidate, it seems to me that, well, you don't have the consent of the governed, so therefore, any white supremacist who claims to be a white supremacist who wants to vote for white supremacist candidates but can't, a white supremacist doesn't have any obligation to pay taxes to a government that is out to essentially not allow him to have any say. So, in any case, you know, I mean, I don't really mind. I think these political parties ought to be banned, and I think they will be banned, and I think that anybody who violates white rights should, I think essentially they and their families ought to be put to death for treason. But more of the point right now is that I don't think any white man has any obligation to pay taxes to the federal government or to the state government as long as they're not allowed to vote or vote for other white supremacists. Since they do not have representation, they're not allowed to have representation, and you no longer have, in Article 4, a Republican form of government. And a Republican form of government holds that people can elect their representatives. Well, since whites are no longer, open whites, open racist whites, open white supremacists, white nationalists, white separatists.
You will have representatives.
Yeah, well, what happens is that
that's a fine point, but
who gets to determine who the representatives are?
Well, through some electoral process, but okay.
Okay, well, in short, if you're not going to allow an electoral process, then essentially, you do not have open, free, fair, honest elections, then, do you?
I agree with you, sure.
Yeah. So, as I look at it, I'm simply going to ask that none of the people who got elected in 2010 should be allowed to hold their office because it wasn't a fair, open, honest election. Since it was not a fair, open, honest election, two choices. Any white person who says, well, hey, I don't have to pay taxes because I no longer have a vote and I no longer have representation, shouldn't have to pay taxes to the federal government or the state government of Missouri. So, short, which is it? I mean, if you want to...
You don't have representation, I understand.
Yeah, we don't have representation. You know what I mean?
I agree.
Well, I mean, ZZZ says they won't allow black supremacists, either. Well, I'd pretty well say is that if you're not going to allow a black supremacist to run, then niggers shouldn't have to pay taxes either. Of course, niggers don't pay taxes anyway. It's white people.
Well, the joke we have in the South is that they have this gambling, this state lottery. We say it's the only tax niggers pay.
Okay. Well, INTJ asked, if you consider running as an independent, essentially you can run as a riding candidate. If you want to get on the ballot, you have to have 10,000 votes or better. You have to have 10,000 verified signatures.
Mm-hmm.
I've already filed against the Missouri Libertarian Party for refusing to allow essentially they did away with Lubin versus Panish in that little decision on the Eighth Circuit is what they did. Folks, if you're going to go ahead and limit who can run for office, then anybody, it seems to me that you ought to limit who you're collecting taxes from. If you're not going to allow someone to be represented, then hey, you have no claim to their loyalty, to their support, or to their tax money. Remember, the whole purpose of the American Revolution was no taxation without representation. Well, since white people are no longer represented, and you will not allow them to be represented, and white people should not be allowed, you know, should not have to pay any white taxes. And what do you think is going to happen when white people stop paying taxes?
The government will disappear.
Well, it's not going to disappear. It's going to collapse. All these programs and the rest are collapsing right now, even as we speak. Because you no longer have white people. You no longer have wiggers able not only to pay taxes, you have them no longer able to, they no longer have jobs. They no longer have their homes. They don't have anything, really, do they?
I don't know.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's what I'm going to go ahead and answer. And I think I'm going to go ahead and send a copy to the Iranian embassy, the Russian embassy, the Chinese embassy, the Zimbabwe embassy if they have. I think I'm going to go ahead and ask Muammar Gaddafi to put on an airstrike against Neosho, Missouri, and Jefferson City, and Washington, D.C. I'm going to go ahead and ask that, essentially, that Washington, Jefferson City, and Neosho shouldn't be allowed to oppress their civilian population.
I wouldn't waste my time with that type.
No. I would do that because, essentially, what you want to do is you want to go ahead and reduce. You always want to destroy a government's moral legitimacy to where they have no more morals.
We know they have no moral legitimacy.
Of course we know they have no moral legitimacy. But what I like hearing is them yapping about how they have to bomb sand niggers for peace and freedom and democracy. Sort of like what we've been doing with Afghanistan and Iraq, right? We're murdering their people so they'll have a democratic crooked form of government.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, by the local warlord of our choice. Yeah, I mean, democracy really is just pretty much of a joke here. How's that democracy in Egypt holding up?
Who knows?
Well, they said that they had a riot between the Muslims and the Coptic Christians, and the Muslims outnumber the Copts by about 10 or 15 to 1. And essentially, with their new democracy, they lynched a bunch of Copts a couple of times.
Really? I didn't know that.
Oh yeah. Well, I was reading that about 2-3 weeks ago. They essentially murdered and lynched a bunch of cops over in Egypt. The Muslims did. But then again, they outnumber the cops by better than 10 to 1.
Oh sure. Well, the people realize they got some power now.
Well, they think they got power. They don't seem to have very much power at all. But, I mean, I don't know, did you ever see the movie The Patriot with Mel Gibson?
I don't know.
Okay, he was playing a scrubbed up version of Francis Marion, the swamp
boss. Oh, I didn't see it. It was a sorry movie. I did see that.
It was somewhat of a sorry movie. It's a politically correct movie. Way back in the mid-60s, they had Leslie Nielsen as Francis Marion, Swamp Fox. Don't know his act. Nobody knows what Swamp Fox act. And they'd go ahead and sing about that. Well, we found out that old Francis Marion was a slave owner. He owned just niggers, and he likes, supposedly he likes sneaking into the back door and screwing the wenches at night too. So he became, from 1965, when he was played by Leslie Nielsen, why he was politically correct back in 1965. But in 2000, when Mel Gibson played him, why, Mel Gibson wasn't a slave owner. He hired free Negroes. But what I liked about the movie is he said, he wasn't for democracy from England. He said, why should I exchange one tyrant 3,000 miles away for 3,000 tyrants 1 mile away? he didn't much care for democracy in that speech. Now, this bad old guy played by this Englishman who's playing Banaster Tarleton changes his mind. He kills old Banaster Tarleton at the very end, sort of like at the Battle of Catherine.
Banaster Tarleton escaped. He got back to England. He was an evil son of a bitch. He escaped.
Oh, he was an evil son of a bitch. He was a war criminal before the days that they had war criminals. But he escaped. But in the movie The Patriot, old Mel Gibson kills him, remember?
I don't remember that. I saw the movie. It was a sorry movie. I didn't like it at all, but...
Well, I like...
Tarleton escaped from Kings Mountain. Kings Mountain is on North Carolina, South Carolina border.
Yeah.
And the Revolutionary War was actually won in the South. The history books never tell you that, but between Kings Mountain and the previous Cowpens in South Carolina, those two battles so screwed up Cornwallis that he ran the hell away to...
Yorktown.
Guilford Courthouse, which is near Greensboro.
Mm-hmm.
And technically, he won that little skirmish in Greensboro, but he was so sadly defeated, he moved to Yorktown where Washington went in for the kill.
Oh, yeah, and
long time to understand how that works.
The French fleet wouldn't allow him to evacuate, so he pretty well got finished off.
Out there.
But, the entire war, it was fought originally in the north, then it went to the central part, central colonies, and then at the end, it waged around the south.
The war started the south. What happened is they came in, they took over Savannah, and then they took over Charleston. Then Bannister Tarleton told the guys, okay, you sons of bitches from Tennessee, North Carolina, you might as well give up or we'll come burn your houses down. Well, it wasn't Nathaniel Greene. It was,
Well, Gates, at Charleston, this English general named Lee, who was second command, was incompetent. He lost about 5,000 men captured at Charleston. And then Gates, who was the so-called hero of Saratoga, but was an incompetent fool, he got whooped. He got whooped too. Washington sent Nathaniel Greene, who he thought was his most competent general, and Nathaniel Greene managed to split off a whole bunch of people, and they essentially just kept on sniping at Cornwallis. And one of his very good commanders, Greene, was General Daniel Morgan, who commanded the Rifle Corps. And at Cowpens, they just slaughtered the crap out of the, they went ahead and pretty well annihilated the British.
The order was given, that's right. They had threatened the people and their families and everything else, and the British were lucky to get a fraction out of Cowpens. Cowpens is all up in northern South Carolina. I mean, look, I live down here, I've been all these places.
Yeah, I think it's on the border between North and South Carolina, somewhere around there.
Well, that's where Kings Mountain is. Cowpens is well in South Carolina, but in any event, that's what took place. But Tarleton escaped. What happened is the British thought that Kings Mountain is a mountain, and the British took the top of the mountain. They said, "Well, hey, baby, we're on top of the mountain. We're gonna run the show." Well, the revolutionary guys, they were all dressed in their deerskin things and everything else. They just started to circle the mountain and come up the hill, and they just squeezed the British. That's basically what took place.
Just shot them from ambush here when they were at the top of the hill. So they had better weapons and better shots, so they won the sniping contest, in other words, huh?
Well, normally if you have a top of the hill, you would win, but in this case, with a heavy force and stuff like that, it just didn't work that way.
Well, at Cowpens, Daniel Morgan told the militia, "Give me two volleys, then you can run for home." And they ran for home, and they got the two volleys, but they ran into... a good line of continental regulars and Daniel Morgan's riflemen, and essentially they got cut to pieces. And Bannister Tarleton, he escaped by simply continue riding his horse, toward the last where he heard Cornwallis was at. And that's how, I mean, he was a vicious critter. He's sort of like Swordmaster in that regard.
Too, but in any event, the British never ever thought 2,000 years that they would lose that war.
Well, they did lose that war. Part of the problem was, and I read a column by Lewis Beam called Revolutionary Majorities, and Lewis Beam points out that King George only lost 7,000 to 8,000, you know, men killed, you know, be they English or Hessians. He didn't really lose that many killed, but what you had is you had a revolutionary majority, and that revolutionary majority was not scared to kill, you know, to execute tax collectors, tar and feather them, execute them, burn down the houses of the loyalists and the rest. And essentially, you end up having a little guerrilla civil war going on. And the Tories, they had the stuff, but the rebels, they were determined to replace King George III. As I say, I call them the Founding Fathers. They replaced George III with George I. And, I mean, you know, they may talk about how they were for freedom and all this sort of thing, but John Adams, he passed, you know, the so-called Constitution. He passed the Alien Sedition Acts. He said to people,
the most vicious
set of laws
ever.
Yeah, I mean, heck, the constipation wasn't even 10 years old. It was about, what, 8 or 9 years, it was about, 8 years old, 9 years old, when old John Adams signed the Alien and Sedition Act. Well, you cannot criticize John Adams, you could not criticize the Federalist Congress. By the way, you could criticize the vice president. You know who the vice president was at the time. you could make fun all you want of Thomas Jefferson, but you couldn't make fun.
Washington turned whore too once he became president of the United States.
Oh yeah, he turned whore.
Rebellion.
Yeah, they had a whiskey rebellion, and he let his little half Jew. He let his little half Jew who brought in the Bank of England to the United States in to crush these Pennsylvania farmers.
Half Jew, half nigger, Alexander Hamilton, that's right.
Well, I don't know about half nigger, he was at least half Jew, and supposedly Cornwallis wrote a letter to George Washington saying, well, yeah, you may think you won your independence, but within 10 years, the Bank of England will be back. And sure enough, it was back. It came back in the form little Alexander Hamilton, the little half-Jew, going ahead and putting in the first bank in the United States. And all these Federals wanted to have a federal bank to where they could sell the stock. They set up a private Federal Reserve type system way back in 1789. And that's exactly what the hell they did. Andrew Jackson despised George Washington. Andrew Jackson despised, you know, he hated the British. I mean, there are a lot of people who didn't much care for, Well, the thing about it is someone says that no Jews wrote the U.S. Constitution, just no Jews wrote the Bible. Folks, I have seen people use, you have a Whigger, you give a Whigger power, he will interpret whatever law there is to his satisfaction. There is no such thing as law unless you have something called consequence. Now, it's up to me. Any policeman that makes a false arrest can be executed. Right then and right there. You have here in Granby these people who are trying to make poor people put up their houses to their notions of how it is. Not the beaners, not the rest of them. As far as I'm concerned, anybody who sets that thing up, he doesn't mind his own business, you ought to be able to, you have problems with how my house looks? Well, I'll tell you what. I'll just gouge your eyes out, your children's eyes out, and then give you a choice after skinning as to whether or not you find it good or not here. People need to learn that you do not use the power of the government to take something that don't belong to you, and you don't use the power of the government to get your own way and not mind your own business. If you can't mind your own business and you can't keep from stealing things, there's no reason to have someone like you around bothering productive, normal, honest folks here. Yeah. And that's why I say there needs to be a great tribulation. You have these people who cannot mind their own business, who have certain laws that they define for somebody else. The U.S. Constitution, it should have become a dead letter as soon as that Alien Sedition Act was passed. The rest of the white people should have said, the white people should have said, hey, look, you passed the Constitution. You were a bunch of lawyers and masons who passed it in secret in Philadelphia, and now by shenanigans and trickery, you established it as our government. Well, it's not our government. We don't really much care for it. So, anyway, I'm looking at this stupid horse shit about how the Muslims next door and they're whining about how people don't want to have a damn mosque next to them. Well, if you have a bunch of Muslims, sooner or later they're going to impose their religion upon you because they're just a bunch of muds.
That's absolutely right.
Yeah, they're just a bunch of muds. I mean, you shouldn't have niggers and you shouldn't have a lot of niggers and Jews and muds to live in this country. So therefore, it's a dead letter. It's a dead letter as to whether or not they have a mosque, right?
Well, anytime you bring Muslims to society, they're going to want to make the society like what they came from. That's what destroys. I mean, the Mexicans come up here, they don't want to speak Spanish and have Roman Catholicism and live like a bunch of animals, and they want to turn this country into Mexico, basically.
Well, they want to come in. They want to come in, and essentially Mexico's not able to feed all them damn beaners. So they come to this country, and they want the white man to be this new slave, to feed all these damn beaners. And that's essentially what the Republican Party and the Democrat Party and the Libertine Party want to do. They're not for freedom. They're for having power over other people and abusing the law to suit them, you know, to suit themselves here. That's why I'm a big fan of the Great Tribulation. I believe that if you have a Great Tribulation, that essentially the ones who cannot behave, the ones who cannot mind their own business, the ones who cannot do anything other than cause trouble should go ahead and die of their own stupidity. So, in any case, that's what I think. You know, that's what the problem is. The problem is Uyghurs, like I keep on harping at. Jews, you expect to act as Jews. Mamzers, I mean, has there ever been anything good that's come from a Mamzer? And by that, I mean certainly someone like Brian Reel. I mean, he's just totally evil and vicious. Let me go ahead and take a little recording break for about we're gonna do it for about 2 minutes, and then we'll come back and we'll go ahead and talk about little Brian Reel's doings. He seemed to have made himself scarce recently, hasn't he?
Oh, well, I don't really follow him very much, but I haven't heard anybody even mention his name or anything. I don't know what he's doing, but
today. Well, let's just go ahead and take a quick break, and we'll come back, and I'll go ahead and discuss him.
And I'll call you back in a couple.
No, you don't need to call me back. I'm just going to go ahead and turn the recorder off so I can put in a little music tune in between the two. That's the whole purpose of it, Russ. You just stay online, okay? Folks, we'll be back on the recording in just a minute or two. We're gonna have a song. I'm not quite sure what it is. Hail victory, folks.
Oh, I'm a good old rebel. Now that's just what I am. For this fair land of freedom, I do not care a damn. I'm glad I fit against it, I only wish we'd won. And I don't want no pardon for anything I've done. I hate the Constitution, this great republic too. I hate the Freedmen's Bureau in uniform. I hate the Nazi eagle with all his rags and fluff. The lying thieving Yankees, I hate them all. I hate the Yankee nation and everything they do. I hate the Declaration of Independence too. I hate the glorious Union is dripping with our blood. I hate this traffic banner, I hate it all.
We're back. Russ, you said that you don't really pay much attention to Swordmancer, and I haven't really heard from you very much this past week or so. You doing okay?
Yeah, fine.
Oh, okay. In the earlier part, I went ahead and pointed out is that Russ is very much totally different than I am. We have different ideas in many cases. Russ is far more polite than I am. And far, far more polite, aren't you, Russ?
Pardon?
You're far more polite than I am, right? We have different ways of doing things. Me, it's just a matter of about 5 minutes to where I'm always thinking of getting out the oak pallet slat with a rusty nail on it and lambasting about me. You, Russ, are far, far, far more polite than I am. And I intend to scan these court pages in for my Obongo lawsuit. And that's what we were discussing earlier. And in any case, Russ, I'll have to go up by Friday, April Fool's Day, and answer the lawyer. And I want to go ahead and answer the judge at the same time, tell him why my case should not be dismissed. You see, he's taken over for the Jew judge. The Jew judge made that case secret to where people couldn't see it. And for whatever reason, they believe that it's legal to do that. In fact, I have a case to where Linstead versus Granby, they ruled that Dean Whipple didn't have to obey then local rule 37.1. The judge does not have to obey the local rules if you don't want to. That was the decision of the 8th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. And they actually... it's a published decision. Essentially what boils down to is the judge dismissed the case. Now, I've been fighting with this piece of shit, Ron Mitchell, and he's another one of the little local plaintiffs around here. He's in this latest Obongo lawsuit. And Ron Mitchell, he's there... And he keeps a whole bunch of stuff about me, and he knows, you know, full well that I'd love to skin lawyers and the rest of them alive, and he's kept up quite a big, you know, opposition research on me about how I don't pay taxes. He does. And I said, well, yes, the reason you pay taxes is you're a parasite. You're a parasite who lives off the take. So, yeah, I imagine as a parasite, you have to go ahead and pay some of the take. And, he lied to me a couple times. I caught him lying. And, in 1995, he was president of the Missouri Bar Association. He's a no-good lying piece of shit. He's just just a typical lawyer. He's just a typical lawyer, but he's essentially he's not a very good lawyer. It's just that he knows everybody and he writes a bunch of crap. And on my first lawsuit, he refused to answer my interrogatories. So on the second one, I answered the interrogatories on the very last day, and they decided to dismiss the case, and so did Dean Whipple. Now, local rule 37.1 says, hey, look, judges, you don't dismiss a case regarding discovery until you have notified all the parties. Well, it went up to the USA Circuit Court of Appeals. They initially kicked it out of court, said I lost, and I said, well, hey, look, you goofy bastards, I paid $105. I didn't even get to file my briefs yet. What do you mean? It's dismissed. So he said, oh, okay. Well, yeah, this was about the sixth or seventh one I've been had before them.
Did you have an en banc hearing or something, or what?
No. This is the sixth or seventh time. I went ahead and said, hey, look, you goofy bastards. You're supposed to, you can go ahead and show what a bunch of crooks you are, dismiss the case, but essentially what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to actually wait until I get to file a brief before you dismiss it. You're not supposed to dismiss it just after I pay you $105 to hear it.
But you can't violate the time rules.
I didn't violate the time rules.
Okay.
So what they did is they said, oh, shit. So what they did is that I'd had, five or six cases before them. They said seven, although it was really only six, and that was the sixth one. And, essentially, it went to the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals, and they did not want to hear me chewing on their ass. So they got this lawyer from the Arthur Benson Jr., second or third law firm, and the Arthur Benson was the liberal lawyer from Kansas City who essentially dragged out the Jenkins decision, the Kansas City desegregation cases. Now, in Kansas City, they didn't have, like St. Louis, de jure segregation. They just had de facto segregation because nobody wants to live with niggers. So what they did, in order to lure suburban white kids from the suburbs, nobody in their right mind wants to go ahead and send their kids to an inner city Kansas City school full of niggers. So what they did is that they mounted a raid on the Missouri Treasury, this retired Judge Russell Clark ruled that even though it wasn't actual, legalized segregation, and therefore has to be undone by new integration, forced integration, no, it was de jure, segregation. So therefore, it had to be done by raiding the Missouri State Treasury of its surplus in order to pay for Olympic pools and computer labs and everything else wonderful for magnet schools in order to lure white kids from the suburbs to downtown Nigger Whoreville, I mean, in Kansas City, they used to have a whole bunch of, Kansas City, I don't know, it's not quite as bad as driving in places like Charlotte or something like that, but I learned when I was a truck driver, and I'm driving in order to get to the warehouse through Niggertown. I learned to keep my windows rolled up because you'd have all sorts of nigger whores just yell at me how they want, they want $10 for a blowjob. I really didn't want to hear that stupid shit. So I'd go ahead and roll my windows up. Besides, you want to keep the air conditioning on. But even in wintertime, I keep the windows rolled up because I didn't want to listen to nigger whores. But essentially, for some reason, suburban Uyghurs didn't want to bring their kids into that, even if they had Russian-speaking classes and Olympic-sized swimming pools. So the magnet school didn't really work. But here's this Arthur Benson who caused the state of Missouri to spend $3 billion. And here's old Dean Whipple. And old Dean Whipple's now a senior judge, but he's a total snake himself. And I had three of them six cases in front of Dean Whipple. And Whipple's smart. Whipple is smart. I'll grant you that. But Whipple's a lying piece of shit, too. He's a total snake. But, I used to insult the shit out of Whipple in my little motions. I used to have fun doing that. But, I followed them back then. I didn't have any money. This was before I came into my, inheritance. I didn't have any money, so I filed as a pauper. And so all these lawsuits in the 1990s were done as a pauper. But, you know, this was about the last of the six lawsuits, and essentially they wouldn't allow me to run as a pauper, but then they changed their mind. They didn't want me chewing, the Eighth Circus Court of Appeals in St. Louis didn't want me chewing on their ass, so what they did is that they assigned me a lawyer. You know what I mean? Oh, yeah, I guess you are a pauper. Well, I said, can I have my $105 back then? No, you can't have your $105 back. But they assigned me her.
Hi, now, by the way.
Huh?
It's 360 or 420 for an appeal now or something. I don't know the number exactly what it is.
It's, what happens is it costs $350 to file. It costs $355 or $455 to file an appeal.
That's for an appeal, that's right.
Yeah. I think it's $100 more or $5 more. It used to be $105 more. Now I think it's either $5 more or $105 more. So it'd be $455 to file, you know. And essentially, they've locked down to where you can hardly anybody can sue informal paupers anymore. You know what I mean? Certainly not prisoners or anybody else.
That's the only way to go is IFP.
Well, I have some money, and I'm not willing to, you know, sign a Class A federal misdemeanor to go ahead and claim, well, you have some money. Well, you have a house that's paid for. You have a bunch of junk. Huh?
Whose title is that house in?
It's me and Roxy's.
Then you don't own the house. It's owned by a separate tenancy by the entirety. That's another story.
That's another story. The thing about it is I don't mind spending $350 or whatever. You know, I mean, I have enough money to get by on. I ain't worried about it. I mean, let really poor people. And besides, Russ, like I said before, the whole purpose is I know filing these lawsuits that I'm going to lose. Do you actually think that they spent $500 million getting that funky monkey? George Soros and the rest of the Jews spent $500 million getting that funky monkey, who ain't even a citizen, into the chimp house. Now, do you actually think they're going to allow some informal paupers or somebody who actually paid $350 to get the nigger out? Do you think they're going to allow that shit to happen?
See, this whole society is a farce.
It is farce. It's based. Essentially, you don't have. There's no rule of law.
There's no rights. We have no rights.
We have no rights. No. No rights that the government needs respect here. What happens is that they think that because I'm a racist and that I think white people are superior and only white people can live in peace with white people, I'm an evil person and I'm only meant to be taxed and enslaved and essentially turned into a working slave and tossed aside like a piece of garbage. You know, later on, and that's how they're treating Uyghurs. And Uyghurs are beginning to learn that, you know, find that stuff out, but in many cases they're finding out far too late and they're whining like pussies about it, right?
Well, you know, and if people live in a dream world, they never have a problem. It's only when they decide to exercise their alleged rights, they find out they have no rights.
Well, they find out they have no rights, then what do?
Then
you have a problem. Now, you don't have a problem if Uyghurs, you know, being cowards, decide all they're going to do is whine and piss and moan about it. But increasingly, kicking the can down the road isn't working. If you go ahead and look at it, we're spending what we have a deficit of $1.7, actually $2 trillion, right?
Sure.
$2 trillion a year. Well,
it's another game. It's another game.
Yeah. Well, how long do you think that's going to last here? Like with Japan, it has what $900 billion of our money in treasury bills. Well, they're not able to sell these treasury bills no more, so they print money, and now the prices of everything is going up, and they're talking about $5 a gallon gasoline, well before November.
That's right. So what? What happened? people want to vote for Obama, they want to change, let them get the change they voted for. I've got no problem with that.
Well, yeah, you're not having an ability to pay for all this stuff. You know what I mean? But
and change it. So that's just
well, things will change. I believe that sooner or later, the government will want to take, will pretty well want to take away the lives as well as the property of the Uyghur voters, but the Uyghurs won't have anything left to give them. You see a bunch of people. I mean, my fat-ass stepdaughter. She wasn't able to maintain her and her four children and her worthless husband when gasoline was $1 a gallon. Do you think, now she no longer has four children, but do you think that these people are able to maintain their lifestyle, their living standards on $4 a gallon gasoline?
No. The whole society is into a spiral collapse. That's another story.
Yeah, so it's pretty well another story.
These truck drivers are in trouble. My son's airline pilot. He hasn't figured out that the airlines are going to take a nosedive. As the price of crude goes up and inflation comes down, the air travel is going to take a dive. They're all in trouble.
Yeah, they're all in trouble. They're all in trouble. I mean, it's just a matter of time. I mean, in a lot of cases, you got to wonder why in the world do you need to fly to someplace when you have, what, video conferencing via computer? You can set up a webcam.
Well, business, of course, is trying to minimize the airfare, too, but people will not be able to afford airfare. It's just going to go up and up and up with taxes and surcharges and everything else. That's just the way it is.
Yeah, people are no longer able to afford to buy anything. Be it food, be it gasoline, be it anything, are they?
I don't think it will.
Yeah. You end up having a battle for, Eastern Libya, where Gaddafi, supposedly we are bombing the crap out of Gaddafi, but now the question comes is, are they going to put in ground troops?
He's the only can do it, but that's okay.
Do you think they're going to put in ground troops?
No, politically, I think he wouldn't dare do it.
I don't think he would dare do it either, but what if Gaddafi managed to hole up in western Libya, around Tripoli, where his strength is, and his...
They could take Gaddafi out in 15 minutes if they wanted to. But it's like when they bombed Tokyo. They didn't bomb the Emperor's Palace. They could take out Gaddafi if they want to. We'll see what takes place here. I don't know.
Well, someone said that Russia is starting to get concerned. You have all these white nations where essentially the white population is dying. I was looking at the census results, and they were talking about Southwest Missouri. Do you know that the number of beaners has doubled to where essentially it's 15% of the population? Well, it used to be just 5% of the population way back in 2000.
Yep. Well, I'm not familiar with southwestern Missouri, so I can't comment.
What about where you live? Where you live in eastern North Carolina?
Now I'm hard to believe. There just seem to be fewer and fewer Mexicans here than were 2 years ago. I could be wrong. You just don't see as many anymore, that's all.
Well, maybe...
There's no work for them either.
Okay, well, that's true, but what they're pointing out in places like Texas, they're the majority. They're the majority as far as school children are concerned.
That's a different story.
Well, in 2000, they said that the majority of kindergarten and younger children...
Oh, the schools are something else. That's right.
Schools are something else here. Well, I'm running for school board. I'm going to say one part of my policy is going to be headlights and green card inspections every week. Unannounced headlights and green card inspections.
Martin, the entire school system in this country is communist.
It's meant to be communist.
It goes back to the 1878 decision of the U.S. Supreme Court. I don't know the name of it, where they said the schools had to provide, quote, free education. Hell, there ain't nothing free about it. It's extorted from people via property taxes to pay the damn teachers. The whole system is communist. Let the whole damn thing collapse for all I care.
Well, it is collapsing. It's not doing very well. You're 67, though, so you're not so concerned, are you?
Pardon?
You're 67 or so, so you're not so concerned, are you?
Property taxes, but that's a side point, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's true. Anyway, getting on to old Brian Reel, a.k.a. Sword Mams, and the rest, what you have is you have little... Old Brian Reel has been laying low for the last couple weeks. And him and his lawyer tried to nose their way into John Britton's lawsuit. And from my gather, they got slapped down, so they're keeping sort of quiet. But you have this character called Oba, you know, he calls himself Obadiah 118, but he's actually, I call him Oba Gender Bender Pisser Pitcher Possum. And we have this guy who I ordained for 3 days named Liar Bill DeClue. I call him Mumps Nuts because he told Roxy he couldn't have kids because he had mumps in his nuts. And in any case, they had my forum taken down over at the Bulletin, you know, the beer barrel, and they're all pissy and moaning because they think there's a secret forum there, and there may or there may not be. But what do you think is going to end up happening to people like that who pretend to be racist, but who ain't even white, like Brian Rio and probably Oba Genderbender? It seems to me that, you know, I end up calling that forum. They call it the Christian Identity Forum, but I have a nickname that's pretty well sticking. It's called 2.5 Mamsers. You remember Charlie Sheen? He had a show called 2.5
Mamsers.
Well, I've never watched it either. And Charlie Sheen, his actual name should be Charlie Sheeny because he's a Jew, but and he admitted to being a Jew.
His mother's a Jew or something.
Yeah, well, he's a halakhic Jew, right?
He's a what Jew?
He's a halakhic Jew.
I don't know what the hell he is.
See, what happens is if his mother is a Jewess, if he went to Israel, he could become a citizen of Israel when he steps on the shore because his mother's a Jew.
That's true.
That's right. So he's what's called a halakhic Jew. See, Jews and their cousins, the Picts, you know, some of the Akkadians and the rest of these people, what they did is that they reckoned the bloodline upon who the mother is. Because Jews are so promiscuous and evil and the rest that essentially they don't know who their father is. In many cases, they don't care. In the case of Jews, like Elizabeth Taylor.
You know, it's funny. When she was buried, there was a kind of Jew was the minister there.
She was a Jewess.
Huh?
She was a Jewess.
Was she born that way?
Well, she was and she wasn't. There's some people who say that her mother was a Jew, but she married this cock named Eddie Fisher, so she supposedly converted to Judaism too. But from my guess, she was actually born that way. She was what's called a Nesterkikis, and her mother. Yeah, I call a female cock. I call a kikis. You know what I mean? That's one of my little Winsteadisms. I call her a kikis. And you have Esther Kikises after Esther, who, you know, let's see, last week was Purim Fest, where we started bombing another country. You know that in 2003, old Bushy, or Dumbia, as I call him, he started that war with Iraq on Purim, you know, on Purim Fest day, you know, on Purim Fest night. And Purim is named after where old Esther managed to get dumbass old King Xerxes, or one of the Persian kings, to essentially allow the Jews to have the upper hand and murder all these white people who got tired of their kike ways. And Bertrand Comperet and the rest do not think that the Book of Esther belongs actually in the Bible. It's just some little bastardized version that they put in. And that's where Purim comes from, was when they were able to, you know, they passed a law, supposedly some Malachi had passed this law to where, hey, these Jews need to be exterminated. I mean, a lot of people get tired of Jews.
Let me interrupt you briefly. I'm just looking at the Wikipedia for, what the hell's her name, Taylor, and apparently when she got involved with Eddie Fisher, she converted to Judaism when she was married to him, and she allegedly stayed a Jew the rest of her life.
Well, yes, but there's some people who say that actually she was born a Jewess. You know what I mean?
Well, allegedly she was Christian Scientist, but she could have been born a Jewish anyway, but it's, who the hell knows? Well, her mother was Sarah Sothern. That's an interesting little name there.
She was a Jew. His mother was a Jew who got she found this Aryan pecker from Nebraska, of all places. She found this Nebraska guy named Taylor, and essentially got him pregnant.
The mother's name was Sarah Viola Warnbrot. I mean, she wasn't Anglo-Saxon, that's for sure. But
no, she wasn't. But she got this Whigger from Nebraska to make her Aryan by penetration. See, we come up with a story about the Esther Kikas because, you see, a Jew female, she can, you know, she has maternal DNA. She can, you know, she can end up looking like a hose nose. She can be a total little Kikas, and the spawn of Satan, Ichor, won't poison her. But if you have too much, you know, Kikishness built up in the male Jew, what it'll do about the third or fourth generation without new Aryan input, it'll go ahead and screw up the mind of the Jew, of the Jew boy. And you have people like Cain 1-2-3-4-5-6-6-6 and Ixabert or Ixasquirt, and they're totally screwed up Jews. They're malicious, they're evil, but it sort of messes, Judaism messes with their mind. So every so often, these female kikes, or as I call them, kikuses, they have to be real pretty in order to get Aryan input, Aryan pecker, and stabilize the bloodstream, the bloodline of the Jews. See, that's what happened to a lot of the SS soldiers or something like that. These Jewesses were trying to get impregnated by these blonde, blue-eyed SS soldiers, SS officers. And essentially that is what Jews do. They have to get, every so often, they have to get new, fresh Aryan input because among the male Jews, it screws up their heads if they have too much of the blood of Satan concentrated, in their little bitty brains here. It doesn't really affect the females so much, but what the Jewesses will do is that some of them will turn rather pretty in order to go ahead and get Aryan input. And Elizabeth Taylor's mother must have been a long line of Esther Kikuses who essentially got this goober from Nebraska to impregnate her and make her children look Aryan. I mean, Jews are not beautiful looking critters, are they?
No, they're
ugly. I mean, shit, that big old hose nose and that lizard look that they got. I mean, that's why I like it when Jews marry niggers or Jews marry beaners, because when Jews marry niggers or beaners, why, the spawn can't pretend to be white no more.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, that's why, we were talking about Willie Martin. That's why I liked pointing out to both Jews and niggers the Willie Martin heresy, to where Satan disguised himself as a nigger and had sex with Eve, and she gave birth to Cain, and that's why all Jews have five, even the blondest blue-eyed Jew, has 5-15% nigger marker genes. I just simply tell them Jews that go ahead, marry that nigger woman or marry that nigger man because, hey, you're just trying to get back to your roots. Now, they don't like hearing that, but...
Well, reading here about Elizabeth Taylor on Wikipedia, she apparently was very fascinated with diamonds and jewelry. That's another thing that you women are like. I mean,
diamonds are a Kikus's best friend. You know what I mean?
Apparently. I was not aware of that stuff, but...
Oh, yeah. Well, me and Pastor John Britton, other men may talk about women or NASCAR or something like that. Me and Pastor John Britt, we talk about Jews. That's our field of study. So,
you know, it says about her on Wikipedia, it says, biographer Alexander Walker suggests Elizabeth's conversion to Judaism at the age of 27 and her lifelong support for Israel may have been influenced by sympathetic views she heard at home. Walker notes that Kazelet, whoever the hell that was an active campaigner for a Jewish homeland, and her mother also worked actively in various charities, which included sponsored fundraisers for Zion. Her mother recalls the influence that Kazelet had on Elizabeth.
My mother was an Esther Kikas. Her mother was a Jewess.
Apparently. That, that,
yeah.
gets clearer and clearer the more.
Yeah, my mother was a Jewess. I mean, I was talking with some people here, and well, I was talking, you know, Pastor John Britton. He just went ahead and pointed out that Elizabeth Taylor's mother was a Jew. Was a Jewess, or as I call her, Esther Kikas. She went ahead and found herself some Aryan input, and old Elizabeth, she sort of liked the Aryan input. She also liked the Jew input. She also liked the Wheelos input from old Richard Burton. I was looking at Dick Cavett, and they were doing this interview with this here doofus who replaced that Jew, Larry King, on there, and old Dick Cavett said, well, you gotta understand that they're a bunch of alcoholics, you know, and drug addicts who essentially drank themselves and smoked themselves to death. He said, oh, Richard Burton died in his 50s. And the thing about it is that, you know, here's old Dick Cavett. He's, you know, he's what, probably 70-some years old, and he no longer has anything to lose, so he went ahead and told it like he's seen it. You know what I mean?
Anyway.
And you had all these other Hollywood celebrities who, well, they can't say that. Old
people
Dick can say it because...
People are all perverts. What they do, what the hell they want to do, I don't care. You know what I mean?
Well, they had a number of... They had old Morgan Fairchild or the rest here. Oh. Anyway.
On the Eli's program, I did a little writing. Bob Jones is called Boob Jones.
Well, I called him Boob a long time ago.
See,
Boob.
I wrote that on the thing, and no one had any comment about that, you know.
What about, you know, I'm not, you're not too crazy about old Bob, who lives in what? In Henderson, Nevada?
Las Vegas. He's always pushing the Jew stuff of being a finance man, a stockbroker, and everything else. He was telling people a couple weeks on the radio, don't buy silver, they're saving the stock market. He's a complete jackass. Because they make no commissions for gold and silver sales. That's the reason they're always pushing the stock thing.
Well, they all make some commission. It's just that you don't, if you buy an actual bullion, there's not going to be as much churning as there is for stock because the bullion is sort of bulky and has to have insurance and has to be watched all over. And essentially, when people end up buying bullion, they're not churning it near as much as they are stock.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Sure. Anyway, look at Marlon. I'm gonna take off right now.
Alrighty, but anyway, you haven't seen. You know, so you were on Eli James' show this morning.
No, I was just as a participant. I wasn't talking. I just in the chat room just made some comments in the chat room.
Well, I it looks like old Eli, he decided not to talk about Willie Martin anymore. He's going ahead and go on with Baruch with, I think, the Skilt Liquor.
I don't know about this Baruch thing, but that's...
You haven't seen much of Little Ford Mouser, have you?
Nope. He seems to have, doing something else. Well, maybe got himself a job. Who knows what happened?
No, I doubt he's got himself a job. I think he's laying low. I think he's scared of being sued.
Well, no, I think he made so damn many enemies. Hey, when that thing came out about him from that public information about who truck he owned, his driver's license, his holding record, I think that stunned him. I think he never thought that would ever come out in a million years. He never knew about it. Out of nowhere it comes out.
Yeah, well, then probably old cousin Ray, the lawyer, told him, oh, my God, I might get disbarred for this shit. And I think I'm going to end up having to sue Cousin Ray, the lawyer, to make sure I don't get rat-fucked by the bastard. So, in any case.
Okay. Anyway.
All right. Well, Ross, it's good talking to you. So I haven't really talked to you for a little while, but you have a good one, Ross, okay?
Good night.
All right. Good night. Hail victory, Ross. Bye-bye. In any case, It was good talking to Russ. And I did get it in two segments. Little Ford Mazur has sort of hidden himself away a little bit. And I'll talk a little bit about that. And Russ will go ahead and help me go ahead and look at my lawsuits, both against Obongo and against Little Ford Mazur. And first I'll be wanting to save money at what, $3 and what, 50 cents a gallon gasoline. You don't drive and drive and drive, and I have to be there by Friday to file the one against the Republican Party, and I don't want to spend more than, you know, I don't want to go ahead and make out two separate mailings to all the little retards. So that's what I'm going to do, is I'll have an answer to the court, and, you know, court that this non-Jew judge is asking for, my Obongo lawsuit, and I'll have, you know, I might as well go ahead and file a new Swordmancer lawsuit. Now, I've been doing some research on it, and folks, I, you know, there is no record of anybody being so stupid as Swordmancer as him running around acting so maliciously, taking down web page after web page after web page after web page. And it looks like Finkelstein has decided to separate himself from little Swordmancer. And, you know, who knows? Who knows? All he could get was old Nico Faggot. And Nico Faggot is from Turku, Finland. He's another little mancer. And I was listening in somewhat of an awe at their little show, portions of the little show, talking about mancer infiltrators and Jew infiltrators. Well, look, Third Mancer is the biggest little mancer and Jew infiltrator I've ever seen. And over on 2.5 Mancers, why, they're just having a shit fit because Liar Bill got booted off from his job as a spy over on the Beer Barrel. Not that the goofy bastard was able to see what was going on in any secret or alleged secret forum that was running. And look, Liar Bill. I mean, essentially, you got caught. You got kicked off. Everybody knows about you. Billy Roper kicked your ass out over a year ago. Galette's kicked your ass off. I mean, essentially, you're no longer welcome anywhere. Poor little goofy bastard. So they're whining and they're pissing and moaning. But what gets me is there's so much like this Missouri Republican lawyer who believes that because you're racist, you have no rights. You have no rights to be, quote, racist. You have no rights to be pro-white. You have no rights to look after your own people, your own kind. Well, folks, a society which goes ahead and expressly authorizes the stealing, the slave, the enslavement, the, you know, grant, you know, the, well, pretty well the disenfranchisement. Because, folks, that's exactly what my lawsuit is about, is to talk about this disenfranchisement. Folks, there's no way that I'm going to win the election if I can only get 2.5% of the vote, maybe 3% of the vote. But, folks, what I can do is call into question the legitimacy of the election. And that's exactly what that lawsuit's about. So, folks, I'm going to go ahead and take another 10-15-minute break, and we'll come back in a little bit. Just stay on for the next segment of episode number 63 of The Movement Turd. Hail victory.
Our flag is proudly floating on the land and on the main. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. Beneath it oft we've conquered and will conquer oft again. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. Our deep sea forever, she's never had a loss. Down with the eagle and up with the cross. We will rally round, the bonnie flag will rally once again. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. Our gallant boys have marched to the rolling of the drums. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. And the leaders in charge cry out, come, boys, come. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. Our deep sea forever.
cross. Down with the eagle and up with the cross. We will rally round the bonnie flag, we'll rally once again. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. They have laid down their lives on the bloody battlefield. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. Their motto is resistance to the tyrants, never yield. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. Our Dixie forever, she's never had a loss. Down with the eagle and up with the cross. We will rally around the bonnie flag, we'll rally once again. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom.
If you're on the internet, BrianRio.com. Best big way they stays up, you dum dum. Sword that censors the internet all day. Even Pobardi can't change the censoring ways. Sword member, Pastor Lynch says after you. Sword member, if he shoots your ass you through. Sword member, them Nimbusters after you. Sword member. If they try to eat you, you're through. Then we'll do that. These are really crazy clowns. When will they learn they kick little men for faggots down? So it never censors the internet all day. Even Nimbus can't take the faggot ways. Sword member. Pastor Lynn says after you. The Sword Member Show! If he sues your ass, you're through. Do-do-do. Sword member, Pastor Lynn stands after you. Sword member, if he sues your ass, you're through. Sword member, them Nimbusters after you. Sword member, if they challenge your ass, you're through. Do-do-do. Okay, folks, we're back. I took a little bit of a break to have a late supper, or at least a portion of the supper. And we had a little puppy dog. Roxy was pulling ticks off of him. And after she pulled a few ticks off him, puppy dog was just nosing the treat, the doggy treat box. And she said, "Why is he doing that?" And she said, "Well, puppy dog thinks, you know, or Bell's a pup, think it's a matter of tick or treat. You pulled off some ticks, he wants some treats." And the little bastard didn't just want one treat. He wanted a bunch of treats. And you don't really dare give him more than three at a time. So I'm not quite sure how many he got. But he gets the runs if he gets more than three treats. So hopefully he didn't get more than three treats. Now, I go ahead when I'm cooking up chicken. I save the bones. And I go ahead and feed him the bones. And that, you know, that turns his crap, you know, that turns his shit white. And hard, so that sort of undoes the doggy treats. He does like eating chicken bones, so you don't want that. So he earned those treats here. Tick, you know, he said tick or treat. Anyway, this is the next segment of the Movement Turd, and the first two segments we had Russ Walker chiming in, and over the last couple of weeks. You have all these critters, both within and without the movement, who think that it is against the law to be, quote, racist. I have this Missouri Republican Party lawyer saying that I bring unclean hands to the lawsuit. Why? Because I'm a racist. You see, racist whites don't have a right to their own work. They don't have a right to their own money. They don't have a right to their hard work. They don't even have a right to live. Because they're racist. They need to give it away to non-whites. And you have other Whiggers who believe this sort of stupid shit, who don't actually practice it. I mean, if they actually practice it, they wouldn't be around very much longer. They wouldn't have any money. They'd all be married into niggers or something like that. But over on Oba Gender Benders Forum, or Two and a Half Mamsers, you have Wire Bill. He's all upset because, guess what? Hostgator ought to altogether take down your forum because you have a secret forum to which I am not allowed to spy on. And you changed my name to Liar Bill when you found out that I was Liar Bill spying on it. And I'm mad, and I'm going to call Sword Mams, or I'm going to call Hostgator, I'm going to call all these other people and take down your website because it's racist. And here this character is pretending to be a Klansman, running around in his little Klan robe when he was running around with Klan of Mamsers, a.k.a. spying on Rod Edwards' Klan in Episode 5, Season 2 of Klan of Killers, a.k.a. Klan of Mamsers, because nobody actually was killed. And that's what this character does. He pretends to be a hardcore racist when actually he's just nothing more than a petty criminal who's a snitch, who runs around, and here he is whining about how Marty is talking racism. He's talking this, he's talking that. Someone else went ahead and came up with a, where's Brookline? That's in, I was listening to Brian Reel and little Nico Faggot. Nico Faggot actually is a Turkish Mamser from, Turku, Finland. Here they were, yapping about Mamsers infiltrating the movement. How they want to destroy white people. Well, guess what, Brian Reel? You want to destroy white people? You cannot stand white people telling you that you do not belong among them, that you're not white, that you have no business in white nationalism, and you certainly have no business within Christian identity. Don't like hearing that. But as a result of what's been going on over the last 3 weeks, Brian Reel sort of kept a low profile, and I noticed tonight that he didn't have a I Love Hitler show with Rabbi William Finkelstein, or Finkelschini, the Jersey City Jew boy. Didn't have one at all. And, let me see. Nico Kristen, as I call him, Nico Faggot, is actually his IP address is from Turku, Finland. That's where his ISP is at. Well, puppy dog, we're doing a show tonight. Can't go ahead and leap in my lap just yet, even though you want to. But I'm running for school board. And I went ahead and sent out a questionnaire, and I might very well show up tomorrow night and essentially tell them that their little school board system, the way things used to run no longer works. Now, this Marin County, which thinks it's going to maintain a white standard of living or a white standard of life if you go ahead and bring in a whole bunch more niggers, we're going to find out that having niggers and having beaners is incompatible with having a white or Whigger lifestyle. Altogether incompatible, because niggers cannot produce anything other than a mess. The census figures show that niggers are even running away from Detroit. Everywhere where you have a whole bunch of niggers monkeying things up, even niggers find it impossible to live there. So, in any case, what I'm going to blast the school board for is pointing out that the current situation is unsustainable. You can't create it as a... Really, the school board, the schools, are what I call the Whigger factories. They take young white children and turn them into cowardly, stupid, idiotic, sanctimonious Whiggers who don't want to live. Turn them into little Whigger zombies. And as a result, these young Whiggers are not going to be able to keep up on the payment for Social Security or for Medicare or for anything else on these old Whiggers. These Whiggers have made sure that their successors are not able to even maintain the standing of life that the baby boom degeneration had. The baby boom degeneration pretty well screwed crap up. Big time. Big time. So where was I? Getting on to it, I'm going to go ahead and point out is that we need to have a totally different paradigm for school boards. We need to limit public finance school education to 4 years, probably between the ages of 10 and 14, and limit it to where the only education that consists of is learning to read, write, and basic arithmetic, maybe a little bit of geography, but no political conditioning. No, we are all diverse and we love each other and we love the little niggers of the world or any other crap like that. None of the stupid crap that essentially is what is killing Zog. So, let me see. Well, baby boomers were the original Whiggers. Hell, I was born during the baby boom degeneration. Never before has any generation been given so much and destroyed so much, destroyed the foundations of so much. My degeneration is probably going to be judged the most stupid, selfish, sanctimonious, evil, witless degeneration ever in human history. Because when we were born, things were going up, up, up. And as a result of what we did and what we allowed, there's not going to be very many more white generations if current things continue. I believe my generation of, quote, baby boomers, born just after World War II until 1965, something like that, will be known as the greatest degeneration ever. Folks, I don't have much use for most of my, quote, degeneration. Not at all. They're just worthless wiggers. So, the greatest degeneration, the baby boom degeneration, is, I think, the most vicious and stupid and short-sighted degeneration ever. Weak. But what they're doing as a result of these schools is turning white children into bigger wiggers than they are. Wasting money after money after money. Now, let's go ahead and look at the news. You have these wiggers wanting to pretend that essentially racism ought to be against the law. Let me see. I'm going to go ahead and come up with this one thing. It's called Racial Remarks Spark Reprimand of Nevada Official. Now, folks, in Nevada, you have the most beaters running around of any particular place. Let me go ahead and put the link. Paste it there, so you guys can follow along. But let's go ahead and read it. Racial remarks spar reprimand of Nevada official. Pa rump, Nevada. Commissioners in central Nevada's Nye County have voted unanimously to reprimand the county assessor after she sent emails to the sheriff questioning the citizenship of workers building a new county jail. Assessor Shirley Matson asked for an investigation of the worker's citizenship or work visa status in a March 11th email to Sheriff Tony DeMille, the Las Vegas Review Journal reported. She wrote that her staff and the public can plainly see that the construction employees are all Mexican/Latino, non-English speaking, and I'm getting complaints. That email was among many between Matson and the sheriff sent after Matson was elected to a 4-year term in November. The sheriff told Matson her remarks were blatantly racist and her request was unconstitutional. Really? May have been blatantly racist, but there's no law against racism unless you're a crooked sheriff. The request was unconstitutional. How so? Shouldn't you make sure that these people who are there should be there? If they're getting public money, public monies paid out of the treasury, shouldn't be understood that they need to be taxpayers who will bring something back into it? Yeah, these idiots voting unanimously to reprimand the county assessor. If I was a county assessor, I'd just simply say, hey, look, you worthless bastards. If you don't serve the white taxpayers of this county, then hey, maybe they should go ahead and elect different commissioners. You see, the whole idea behind going ahead and all this political correctness and the rest is that other white people have to pay in order to make you feel good. Make you feel good about yourself. But folks, since when do Mexicans, since when do, you know, niggers give a crap about white people, real working white people? And the answer is they don't. All they care for is what whitey can give them. County commissioners agreed at a special meeting Friday that Masson violated the county's personal conduct policy. But they determined they could do little more than issue a public reprimand because she's an elected official. And the answer is right. Since when is she responsible to what some wigger county commissioner believes is a personal conduct policy? Who cares? I mean, my policy is not to be a worthless, shit-eating wigger. Commissioner Dan Schinhofen said Matson's apparent viewpoint is they look Hispanic, so they must be illegal. Do you see why that can be seen as a bigoted statement? It's bigoted to me. Well, the answer, Mr. Dan Schinhofen, is that you're a bigot yourself. If you really believe, if you really believe that Mexicans should be in this country, why don't you just simply move to Mexico where you can be among a whole bunch of them? Why must you be in a white country looking down upon an obvious white woman who is looking out for the taxpayers? See, she's an assessor. She doesn't wish to go ahead and assess higher taxes in order to pay for all these illegals coming, pouring into Nevada. And folks, that's where you have one of the biggest, I think it's the state with the biggest influx of population. And the population is Mexican. It's invaders. Since when do you allow people outside your race, outside your citizenship to come in and take over? These people are invaders. They are here to take away the American dream from those who actually, by virtue of at least birth, have some claim to it. Folks, nobody wants the Mexican dream. Nobody wants the Nigerian dream. Nobody wants the Chinese dream. They all want the American dream. And they're quite willing to come to this country in order to live off of the white people. Masson told commissioners it never dawned on her her statements might be construed as racially insensitive. She said her email to the Mayo had nothing to do with the issue of illegal immigrants, but was an attempt to protect the county. She recounted working for a San Diego construction company that was fined millions of dollars for hiring illegal immigrants. Well, what difference does it make what it dawned on to her? Folks, if you work for a county, you work for any form of local government, you have a sort of loyalty to those who went ahead and elected you. You have a sort of racial loyalty. All these people who talk about racism, I think they and their children ought to be shoved off into a cage full of niggers with AIDS, syphilitic niggers with AIDS, and, you know, ass raped, skinned alive, killed and eaten. And then if left, shoved off to a non-white country to where they can practice their kumbaya skills. Because that's all they're good for. How dare someone who isn't white live, want to live in a white country. If you don't want to live in a white country, then move somewhere else. Now, I've heard Wigger say, well, why don't you move to Russia or someplace like that? Well, no, Wigger. My idea is that you should go ahead and live in Nigeria or Mexico or Lagos or wherever the hell. You can have all that diversity and diversity of sausage, pokey, and all the sort of crap that you want. In fact, I'm working for a world in which there might be some place for you, and only for you and your kind, and you can figure out whether or not it can continue to survive. I don't believe in one country from sea to shining sea. I don't believe in America. I believe that America should be broken up into 10,000 principalities. And they should find a warlord that they like who's looking out after them. I believe that we should only have 10 million white people on this continent, ruled over, usually with a rod of iron, by 10,000 warlords. And those warlords will be the neo-aristocracy, which determine how things are run. Now, that is in case Jesus Christ does not come back. Now, I believe Jesus Christ is going to come back, but I'm talking to white nationalists who actually may not believe in Christian identity, and I'm trying to get them on board, understanding that the Uyghur, as well as the Jew and the other non-whites, are your enemies. Our biggest enemies are the traitors within our gates, who are just like these characters, whining about the rights of illegal aliens invaders coming in. Going on. I wanted to say the county embarrassment, Matson said. This prompted a tongue-in-cheek response from Commissioner Lorinda Wickman. I want to thank you for avoiding embarrassment to Nye County, Wickman quipped. Well, bitch, if it was up to me, I'd stake you out. I'd stake you out here for all you can screw Beer Friday. I don't give a crap for you. You don't give a crap for the white taxpayer? You give a crap for anybody there himself, other than politically correct this here. Commission Chairman Gary Hall said Matson should have called U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement if she was concerned, not the sheriff. I don't see where the sheriff can go around asking people to show me your papers, Hall said. Well, you worthless piece of shit. There was a case 10 years ago to where the Supreme Court said that in Nevada you have to show your papers. To every little piece of shit character who comes in, the Supreme Court ruled that you have to show your papers. So in short, if you're white, you have to show your papers to every little piece of shit, every little piece of shit politician, every little piece of shit pig, but not if you're a beer, not if you're an illegal alien, because that would be racist. Because what involved 10 years ago, I forget the case, but it involved a rancher who refused to give, in Nevada, who refused to give his ID to a sheriff's deputy pig. And then he challenged the misdemeanor infraction that he got. No jail time, a misdemeanor infraction that I think was $100 fine. He challenged that, and the Supreme Court ruled, I think by 5-4, that you have to show your papers to the pigs. Any pig who wants it. But what these tards are doing is that no sheriff's pig can go ahead and ask for that if he thinks that they're an illegal alien. In short, illegal aliens have far more rights than Uyghurs do. Matson and attorney Nancy Lord, oh boy, said at Friday's meeting they think DeMeo should be found in violation of county policy for releasing Matson's email to the media. Nancy Lord, she's a Jewess who married this nigger named J.J. Johnson. Now I know who the heck we're talking about. She's a libertine Jewess. She was both a doctor and a lawyer. I guess she wasn't much of a doctor. I don't know what the heck, it boiled down to. She's a 1992 libertine vice presidential candidate. Behind the libertine party, she's an Andre Moreau. every so often they choose some tar they're going to get to run, and in return they split the profits behind who they're going to get to run. They don't want to have an open primary, well, in Missouri or elsewhere. So now I know who this Nancy Lord was. She was screwing this nigger named J.J. Johnson, and they got married or something like that. She was too old, thankfully, to have nigger, you know, Jews or something like that. But yeah, this stupid piece of shit sheriff released their violation of county policy for releasing her emails to the media. Maybe you have the wrong person sitting here, Lord said, eliciting groans from half the audience and applause from the other half. Commissioner Joni Eastley noted that neither commissioners nor DeMail have received a single complaint from the public about the workers. She pressed Masson to specify the number and nature of complaints she had received. Folks, now you have this idiot trying to find out who else is a, quote, racist who don't want beaner invaders coming in. Masson named only one person, Ben Gully, a retiree who volunteers at the sheriff's office. While he has concerns about illegal immigrants, Gully said he never complained to Masson or questioned the citizenship of the construction workers. Ms. Masson flagged me down and asked why were all the Mexicans working over there, he told commissioners. Stephanie Lopez, I wonder what sort of character that is. Probably another beaner of Pahrump, told the Review Journal she intends to launch a recall drive against Masson in July. By law, Masson cannot be recalled until she has been in office at least 6 months. So in short, you have another beaner getting rid of some white woman who don't want all these beaner invaders coming in. That's exactly what they already have. You see, beaners actually do believe that white people, putas, have responsibility to pay for all those little shitskins who are pouring into this country. They have a right to live off of wiggers until such time they determine that it's going to become Nuevo Mexico again. That's exactly the way beaners think. But folks, they have no right to be in this country. None whatsoever. And I believe that what needs to be done is that biological weapons need to be developed to exterminate all these dirty shit-colored little bastards coming in and clear out Mexico too. Clear out the rest, you know, the rest of the world of these dirty little mamzers. Teach them that, guess what? It's one thing to live in your own country and not be invaded. But folks, it's another thing to invade a white country and try to turn it into a non-white country. So, let's see what's going on the chat. I'll go ahead and read it. Senior Zero. Senior Zero is pretending to be little. Let me see. Senior Zero is actually pretending to be. Where's Brookline? That's Massachusetts. No, he's not like Australia. TMT. Yeah, that would be quite lovely. Make the Jews go on. Folks, I'm not gonna get elected to the school board. Okay. Getting on this here. I'm looking at, anyway, what your problem is, senior is somebody who doesn't much care for Visser. He calls himself Senior Zero after Visser's darker mestizo brother, Sean. Sean Aaron or something like that. So, where am I at? He's from the island of Dr. Pissarell. Anyway, second thing I wanted to go ahead and cover is that here is a stupid bitch, another stupid Whigger bitch, and here she is. She has nothing better to do but to be a sort of tagger removing anti-Nazi graffiti in Germany. German woman devoted to removing Nazi graffiti, and I've gone ahead and posted the link to there. Berlin. Irmela Mensa Schramm stopped abruptly at a crudely painted swastika on the wall of a pedestrian under a pass. Whipping out a can of spray paint from her cotton tote bag, she quickly made short work of it, turning the neo-Nazi symbol into a nondescript black splotch. For the 65-year-old retiree, it's all a day's work. So in short, this stupid bitch must have been born right at the end of the Second War to kill white people. I think that she should have been one of these German babies who the Jews, like Morgenthau and like Kalkenhauer had succeeded in exterminating. I scratched off the first sticker in 1986 at a bus stop in front of my house. Mensch Schramm said she ambled through the streets with her spray paint and metal scraper. It demanded freedom for Rudolf Hess, Adolf Hitler's deputy, who at the time was still alive and in prison in Berlin. The sticker was there all day, and I couldn't understand why nobody else took it off. People can be so ignorant. Just another stupid, self-hating Whigger twat, thinking that everybody's ignorant except her. Now, there are some people who say that Rudolf Hess, who allegedly hanged himself, was not the real Rudolf Hess. But going on. For 25 years, Mensch Schramm has taken it on herself to clean Berlin of neo-Nazi propaganda scrawled by skinheads and other right-wing groups. She calls herself the political cleaning lady of the nation. Stupid bitch. And during one of her recent tours of the city, she said in the last 4 years alone, she has scratched away more than 36,000 right-wing stickers. Well, ain't that a wonderful thing to do? She said, seeing racist slurs sprayed on walls across the German capital with its atrocious Nazi past made her angry, and she felt a personal responsibility to do something about them. Now here is a quote that you get from a Whigger. Freedom of speech ends where hatred and racism begin, Mensa Schramm said. Now folks, that's what I really want to go ahead and say, is that anybody who claims that freedom of speech ends where you don't like it, what should happen to them? I think essentially they should be blinded, castrated, their tongues ripped out, and the rest, folks, because guess what? If you are going to set yourself up as a little tyrant of political correctness and you lose, and sure enough, you will lose. Because let's say you have destroyed all the Whiggers, all the whites who believe in racism. Do you think the niggers, do you think the beaners, do you think the Jews will thank you for it? Do you really think they'll thank you for it? And the answer is no, they won't. They'll view you as just a little tyrant who went ahead and betrayed your own race, and therefore why would you have any loyalty to their race? You see, to a nigger, niggers, I guess, look good. Although, to most niggers, I mean, most niggers like white women far more than they like, screwing their own water buffaloes. But, folks, this stupid bitch believes that freedom of speech ends where hatred and racism begins. In short, here you are setting yourself up as a tyrant to determine who gets to say whatever they want to say. Is that no, you don't allow somebody else to say something. Now, folks, I've been fighting that against that, especially in the case of Brian Real and Obagenda Bender and Liar Bill all claiming to be Kristen Identity, all claiming to be white. In the case of Brian Reel, trying to show the fact that he was a blubber-lipped, flat-eyed, shit-skin-colored, nigger, gook, beaner, faggot, who had no part, had no right to pretend to be a white man. In the case of Obagenda Bender, who has been successful in hiding his actual identity. In the case of Wire Bill, who was actually just a criminal, a month nutted, 85 IQ, 250 pounds of dog shit, and 150 pound sack, lying coward, who pretends to be a Klansman, and yet obviously has nothing better to do than to molest his niggler nieces. A lot of the time, or it's other nieces, I have no idea. I don't really keep track of which ones of his relatives are claiming that Liar Bill sexually assaulted them. But, folks, you have all these people getting all so mad, taking down forums, just like this stupid bitch takes down stickers and artwork done someplace else. Now, folks, I've noticed in the jails and other places that if you leave any, even Anglo Mestizo, alone, they will literally scratch without anything hard. They'll find something sort of hard, and they will literally scratch a swastika on stainless steel pod tables. Literally, find something harder than stainless steel. I don't know what it is, but through dint of practice, they will patiently scratch a swastika everywhere. Not only on their own hides, but everywhere they can, even on stainless steel tables. So, folks, you have rebellion against this political correctness going on, and certainly in Berlin. Because what they're doing is they're seeing what is going on in Berlin, and they don't think that much of it. Anyway, this stupid bitch was able to retire in 2006, so she must have been 60 years old then. Since her retirement in 2006, Mensah Schramm, who has worked helping students with special needs, tromps the city 6 days a week, trying to track down all the possible Nazi propaganda in the German capital. Now, if it's up to me, I'd go ahead and paint a 666. I'd go ahead and brand a 666 on her forehead. Make her wear her tits, those titskin caps. And then brand a whole bunch of swastikas everywhere she can, and make her run around naked. And anybody who wanted to could go ahead and take a pallet flat with a rusty nail that they just pissed on, and beat that nosy bitch, not quite dead, just less sensible. But she goes ahead and is taken upon herself to track down all possible Nazi propaganda. Folks, this bitch should have been a Jewess working for Marcus Wolf, the Jew East German Stasi leader, spying upon the East Germans, because that's exactly where her mentality is. But going on, before she makes the racist slogans disappear, she documents everything, taking pictures of all the, quote, evil stuff she has found. She keeps several folders with hundreds of stickers demanding foreigners get out, Jews into the oven, or Sieg Heil, the infamous salute used by the Nazis. The number of far-right extremists in Germany are small, some 26,000, according to the most recent estimate from the country's Domestic Intelligence Agency, a.k.a. Jew Piglife Spies. And when neo-Nazis hold demonstrations, they are inevitably dwarfed by counter-protesters. Still, the far-right National Democratic Party has garnered enough votes to make it into two states' parliaments. In the eastern state of Saxony-Anhalt, earlier this month, more than 12% of voters under the age of 30 cast their ballot for the party. Some passers-by applaud Menstrual spontaneously when they see her grassroots response to neo-Nazi graffiti, but others get upset. While it is illegal in Germany to express Nazi ideology in words or images, police say it is not always legal to remove the graffiti either because the process may deface or destroy other people's property. Now, folks, I was stationed for 19 months in Germany, and that's true. But, folks, they forced denazification upon Germany. The older generation loved Hitler. But you always have these little twerps and these little twinks who got sucked up to the Jews or got sucked up to whoever's in power, and they're the ones who will denounce you. If she sees Nazi slogans anywhere, she should call us to take care of it, not spray paint over it. That's willful damage to property, police spokesman Michael Merkel told the Associated Press. Well, what they ought to do with her is essentially fine her for damaging property. She got a pension. Just take away her pension. Take away that stupid bitch's pension so where she has something better to do, like be a bag lady or something. Skinhead groups have posted taunts about her online, and several times property owners have reported her to the police. So far, nobody ever pressed charges against her successfully, she said. Well, that's a pity. Neo-Nazis and private security personnel have harassed and bumped me more than once, Mensah Schramm said, adding she has given up calling the police for support because they rarely ever help me anyway, and don't remove racist slogans, even if I tell them to do so. Really? So you get to tell the pigs what to do? I imagine if the Germans had their way, essentially what they would do is they would quietly and orderly simply go with Nazism, if they could. Mensah Schramm, who is not Jewish, well, maybe not by bloodline, but mind-wise, she's a total kike. Not even a nice-looking kike. Said that even though her new stickers and graffiti often appear again soon after she's removed it, she will never give up her work. Well, I have an idea how she can give up her work. I mean, essentially, wear their own titskin cap, being branded with 666 and a whole bunch of swastikas. I bet she'd give it up quick enough if she really was given a choice. On a recent spring day, she walked through the streets of Berlin's Rudau neighborhood, her trademark white toed back, which has written against Nazi across his hand. She found several stickers on street signs demanding immigrants get out of the country and depicting the German Parliament Reichstag as a mosque. Mensah Schramm resolutely wiped her white hair out of her face, cursed out the neo-Nazis, and went to work. I may be the craziest woman in all of Germany, she said, but the only way to get rid of those Nazis is to consistently work against them. Oh, what a stupid bitch. I may go ahead and see if there's any comments since I went ahead and seen this. But it looks like there's quite a bit of, pinging about that. So, show the picture of the stupid bitch somewhere. Okay. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and look. Okay, finally showed up. Keep up the good work, Mr. Mensah Schramm. If cleansing a city and the world of hatred, racism, and all those other isms is crazy, I wish many more people lose their wits. And then another wigger said, freedom of speech ends where hatred and racism begin, Mensah Schramm said. Wow, wish we could add this phrase to the First Amendment. So in short, we wish we could go ahead and enforce our wishes upon the First Amendment to the Bill of Goods. I'm looking at some of these idiot things here, and I may go ahead and save this. It's too easy to forget, and history can repeat itself. Well, I hope so. I hope that what never actually happened happens again, a.k.a. the whole hoax. That would be nice. Like I said, what never happened, what never actually happened, I wish would happen again. You know, getting on it here. Yeah. Well, Mamzers want to go ahead and take over. Let's see. I'm looking at the chat right now. Well, I'm hoping she'll go ahead and get showed up here, and that somebody will just give her a couple lumps. Just go ahead. In fact, what I would really like to see is that old cow waked by some Turkish guest arbiters. That would probably, I don't think she'd learn anything from it. She might enjoy it, but that would probably turn the trick. Maybe. And then again, maybe not. So, let's go ahead and see if there's anything else in the news. Because I saved those two stories because I wanted to go ahead and show how screwed up things are here in the Zogland. And no, I don't see anything right offhand. So I think I've been going on for about 30 minutes, 45 minutes. And I think I'm gonna take about 10 minutes. You know, I think it's going to go ahead and take about 10 minutes or so. I'm going to take a break for about 10 minutes, and we'll come back in just a little bit. Hail Victory.
Goldberg Dickey's Merchant. To see what I can find, I find a bunch of goodies from 2005. I see all those items from the good old days. His butt book is in my hands, and his leather's all day. Want to be a sword dancer in the SS. Want to be a sword faggot in the SS. Want to be a sword dancer in the SS. Sword man's a sword faggot in the SS.
In the gay parade, Dickie rolled with pride, sucking off niggers in the dusty countryside. Every red nigger bastard that wanted to pay, we would suck them off day after day. Want to be a sword master in the SF? Want to be a sword faggot in the SF? Want to be a sword master in the SF? Sword master, sword faggot in the SF!
Today I grin when I see his bull whip, my sneakers battle sensing, I know it's really drip, get that little butt, a gleam in my eyes, call me Brian Real, I tell nothing but lies, I'll be a sword dancer in the SF, I'll be a sword faggot in the SF, I'll be a sword dancer in the SF, sword dancer, sword faggot in the SF, wanna be a sword dancer in the SF, wanna be a sword faggot in the SF, wanna be a sword dancer in the SF, sword dancer, sword faggot in the SF.
Hi, greetings, folks. This will be the third or fourth segment. I think it's the fourth segment. And this is the time, you know, during the chat portion of the show. And this is where I'm going to take the time to answer all the questions, or most of the questions I can see, that showed up on the chat line. Now, during TalkStew, I would talk for about 4 hours straight at least. Sometimes 5 hours. One time, just a few seconds. Yeah, because I'm effing windy, woman. I would go ahead and get sort of, distracted by the chat. Someone was asking about Tom Metzger, and I pointed out that Tom Metzger was actually one of Pastor Richard Butler's ministers, I think for 4 or 5 years, along with David Lane. And David Lane became a Wodenist, and I used to correspond with David Lane through his wife, Katya. And as a result, listened to old Hatting the meerkat yap, 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 yap about how Pierce only got $50,000. Well, that's a crock. Pierce got $400,000 of order money. I don't know if Metzger got any money at all.
it would have certainly helped Metzger out, and I think Metzger would have been clever enough, just like Pierce, to go ahead and get out of it. But if you go ahead and you take stolen money, the government has a way of finding out, so I don't think Metzger received any money. But he was a Christian Identity ordained minister for about 4 or 5 years, and then he announced that he was actually an atheist. And someone was saying that, no, he's actually a creatard. I don't think he's a creatard. I think he's just an atheist. He uses creatards because a lot of them are skinheads. And Christian Identity and creatards usually don't go ahead and get along. Now, there's some people like Carl Ghost who tried to proselytize poor old Craig Cobb or Corn Cobb, and that was a big mistake, a big mistake. Should have left old Corn Cobb at the Dewdrop Inn or Rosebriar Inn, pretty well running it, so old Corn Cobb could have just been giving out videos instead of having to live in a hole in the ground around Kalispell somewhere, having to worry about female bobcats and tapirs and Jews, you know, gritting them by the throat, wherever the heck he is. Somebody was maybe trying to get old Corn Cobb in trouble. And by the way, folks, if you're on BNNF, you don't really want to be known as a big friend of old Joe Snuffy, a.k.a. Kevin Harpham, because they're taking Kevin Harpham's dad, Cecil, alibi that he was with him all the time so he couldn't plant the bomb. They're looking for another Whigger to frame for that little bionic backpack, like Harold Covington says. So, folks, if I were you and you're on BNN, get the hell off if you have any sense. And certainly, if you live in the Northwest and you're a BNNF tard and you don't want to be in the other set pod with the other camera room in Spokane, I would advise you to get the hell off of BNNF as quick as you can and work on your alibi. Because now they're saying that he, instead of planted the bomb, he made the bomb. Yes, he made the bomb. So now they've changed their story, and they change the story all the time. And just like Edgar Steele, they're not going to go ahead and release the original evidence of the so-called digital tapes or anything like that. So, folks, if you're a VNNF tard, get the hell off VNNF, especially if you live in the Northwest. The FBI is looking for another tard to plant with that. But, folks, Corn Cob, well, yeah, Delaney and Obagender Bender and the rest of these characters who pretend to be Christian Identity are not Christian Identity. They're just, most of them are Mamsers, like Brian Real and Obagender Bender, and some of them are Whiggers who are just thieves and delusional idiots and anti-racist doofuses who have niglet nieces that they like to molest like Liar Billy Clueless. I mean, stay away from that character. Liar Billy's sort of shrill because he got kicked off a beer barrel and he can't spy directly anymore. And found out a while ago that, you know, Billy Roper kicked his ass out about a year ago, and Gillette kicked his ass out a couple months ago. And essentially, nobody trusts Liar Bill. He's not trusted anywhere by anybody. So as a result, on 2.5 Mousers, or the Obagender Bender forum, you just have Mumpsnuts, Obagender Bender, and Sword Mouser. Sword Mouser's starting to lay a little bit low. Now, someone is asking about the Sword Mouser suit, and I don't have it filed yet. I've got to answer the Republican Party lawyers, Missouri Republican Party's lawyers by April 1st, and the non-Jew judge by April 11th. So I will be working on the Obongo lawsuit, and I will be working on the Swordmanzer lawsuit, and I swore I'd be doing that about 2-3 days ago. I swore I'd be doing that last week, and I haven't done it yet. So yeah, I need to do it, and I need to get off the habit of waiting at the last minute to do things. Okay? So, getting on, you know, Metzger, you know, I mean, I have no problem with Metzger, but he's not Christian Identity. At least he never really was, I don't think. I think he didn't become an atheist. I think he was an atheist all along. Now, do I have a problem with Metzger? No. Metzger doesn't pretend to be Christian Identity. He sort of gets along with the Genuine Article. and I have better things to do than fight with Tom Metzger. Tom Metzger don't fight with me, I don't fight with Tom Metzger. Now, if you have Mike the Kike Delaney hanging around, well, that's not a good sign. Mike the Kike Delaney is now hanging around Wickstrom and away from Finkelstein. Or Finkelschini, but he's still hanging around Finkelschini, because Finkelschini is acting like a little, overall little Jew, pretend to be Christian Dante. You have a little fight between him and the liar. Now, folks, Christian Dante, in its normal form, does not proselytize. Trying to convert Corn Cob to Christian Dante was a disaster and mistake in the case of Carl Ghost. We had told him not to bother. Now, me and John Britton, we were raised from the time we were children into Christian Dante, and unlike a new convert who gets into it when he's, 20s or 30s or 40s or 50s, we don't run around trying to convert our family and our friends, because guess what? Our family that's already Christian Dante is already Christian Dante. Our family that isn't Christian Dante, be it one seed line or dual seed line, has already made his choice in that matter. So there's nothing to go ahead and try to convert. As far as friendships, trying to convert them, we don't do that either, because our friends who are already Christian Dante already have a religion. Those of our friends who are not Christian Dante, they already have their religion, or in most cases, lack of religion. Most people living in the Zogland essentially are what I call solipsists. They worship themselves. They worship the church of themselves. And someone's saying Metzger's making shows, which is fine by me. Not that Tom Metzger needs my approval. Tom Metzger essentially does his own thing. He talks to a different segment than what I'm after. And folks, what I'm after is telling people, do not, whatever you do, don't go out, do something stupid like get in a uniform. Don't go ahead and get into some sort of stupid thing that's going to get you caught or cuffed and stuffed and in trouble. There's no sense to it. No sense to it at all. So don't do it. Don't do stupid crap that'll get you in trouble. Unless, of course, you do want to go to prison. If you do want to go to prison, running around, making an ass clown of yourself, telling people how big and bad you are, is a surefire way to go ahead and get in trouble. Just ask Mr. Kevin Harpham now that he's found out the hard way. So, going in. News Guy 2011. Is that Hadding? Old Hadding's around, I think. Well, I don't know if News Guy 2011 is Hadding or not here. Don't really mind. I sort of made fun of Hadding quite a bit. Okay. Okay. Let's see. Well, yeah, get off of BNNF anyway. Unless you're a total retard who really wants to go to prison. In which case, yeah. What am I suing Floyd Manzer for? I'm suing him for unlawfully taking down my web pages based upon a bogus Digital Millennium Copyright Act. And I'm suing the internet service providers because I've looked at the cases. I had to go ahead and shut the door after Poopy Dog left. I've been looking at the cases. The Floyd Manzer is really one of a kind. He's the most vicious, evil little bastard I've ever seen. He's more vicious than you. And Floyd Manzer has taken down far more web pages than anybody has ever thought of it. Now, you've had people take down out of maliciousness, just like Floyd Manzer, one or two web pages, but never as many as what? I think the count is up to 9 in my case. Nimbusters a couple times. Beer Bell. Floyd Manzer has one hell of a lot of liability. A lot of liability. So does Hayes Hostgator, 1in1.com, Hostmonster. And, VNNF here. Anyway, where am I at here? Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad, you know, News Guy 2011, I'm glad you're not Hadding. I went ahead and invited Hadding to show up here. And, folks, okay, well, I'm glad News Guy posts on Nimbusters. Occasionally I post on Nimbusters. Of course, Sword Mamzer and Mumps Nuts and Oba Gender Bender and a few other people, they post on Nimbusters too. And, essentially they post one-liners. Well, where's that? Christian identity is not a proselytizing religion. The reason it's not a proselytizing religion is that not only do you have to be white, pure white, to get in and understand it, you have to be called by Christ. Jesus Christ wasn't out to change the Uyghurs or proselytize the Uyghurs of his day. That's why he spoke in parables. And I've said many times, I've read from the King James Perversion, Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 through 17, where you say, Master, why are you speaking in parables? And Jesus Christ said, I speak in parables so that having ears to hear, they will not hear, and having eyes to see, they will not see, and having a mind to understand, they won't understand, lest they should understand and seek my forgiveness, and I should have to heal them. So Jesus Christ was not out to heal or save the Uyghurs of his day. Well, likewise, neither is he to do it today. The first time he came as a teacher. The second time when he is coming as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords with a rod of iron to rule over a chastised population. And unlike what you'll hear Eliar and Finkelshini and the rest of these idiots say, the Great Tribulation is coming. But the Great Tribulation occurs before the millennium. The millennium is when Satan has been put in a pit for 1,000 years so that people will not be able to claim, white people will not be able to claim that Satan deceived me and therefore that's why I went aside. And then he's turned loose for a short time so that people who claim to be of God have a chance to go ahead and rebel, and it says that they will rebel. They'll be like Gog and Magog. As the sands of the sea, they shall compass the holy city, the camp of the saints, and fire shall come out and destroy them. And then you'll end up having the last great day of judgment. So that's what Christianity believes. Now, folks, believing that sort of thing, you understand, is that nobody can really understand it unless Jesus Christ calls them. Now, when I'm talking to my 10,000 warlords, I am talking to them in terms of something that they will understand. And it's not the austere beauty of dual seed line Christian identity belief, but rather, I am promising them vengeance. I'm promising them payback, I'm promising them pussy, I'm promising them money, I'm promising them land, I'm promising them power. I am promising the 10,000 warlords that they get to do whatever they want to the regime criminals who run this, to the Jews who run this, to the Uyghurs who run this, that they can deal with them as they please, and in seeking power, get power. Do whatever they want to regime criminals. In any case, Gog, from what I gather, was the son of Japheth, was the first son of Japheth, also known as Gomer. He was also known as Gog, and Magog was the younger brother of Gomer. And the Ashkenazi Jews claim to be descended from Ashkenaz, who was, in Genesis 10 verse 3, who was the oldest son of Gomer, also known as Gog, who was the son, in turn, of Japheth. The Jews claim to be white. Now, the actual truth of the matter is all these Khazar Jews, they claim to be, in you know, the 13th tribe, they claim to be from Togarmah, and the rest of these people, but actually what they were Hittites, who were Canaanites, who were descended from Tubal Cain. And we were talking, me and Pastor John Britton, the other day about about Naamah. Now, Eli James was saying that Naamah was Moses' wife. And yes, there was a Naamah who was not Moses' wife, but Noah's wife. And there was a Naamah who was Noah's wife. But there was also a Naamah who was Tubal Cain's sister. And Tubal Cain was descended from Cain. He was a Jew who essentially, he was taught, he was the chief of all the smiths, of all the artificers of iron and bronze, i.e. the smiths, the Kenites. And also, in some cases, Kenite meant smith as well, as opposed to, you know, as in addition to being Cainite. And after Tubal Cain's sister Naamah was married to Ham, and Ham's son was known as Canaan. Now in Genesis chapter 9, there's a lot of confusion about that. Eli James has contributed to the confusion. He's pretty well disclaimed being a dual seedline Christian identity by claiming that Ham raped his mother Naamah, as opposed to seeing Noah's nakedness. I'm not quite sure what the hell that meant. And some of it doesn't really make any sense at all. But if you're going to be dual seed line Christian identity, you're going to claim that Canaan was a Jew or a Canaanite. He has to come from a Canaanite mother. And guess what? Ham was not a Canaanite. Well, Ham was a Hamite, obviously. His white wife was called the Mizraim, or the Egyptians. And the Farrar Fenton that you look at calls the Egyptians, instead of calling the Egyptians, calls them Mizraim, which meant, well, descendants of Mizra. Are Aborigines beasts of the field? Yeah. They're the sixth-day beasts of the field. Okay? So, so you have this, well, we have many cases. The American Indians are not in the Bible. The Chinese are not mentioned in the Bible. The niggers are mentioned in the Bible as the beasts of the field. Okay, people are getting on with this sort of thing. Folks, we had this, earlier conversation about what happened with the Cro-Magnons. And I pointed out as I don't know. I mean, I don't have a problem saying I don't know if I don't know. My own speculation is that I don't believe Adam was the first white man. I believe these Cro-Magnons were white. But they existed. The fossil record says that they existed somewhere as early as 27,000 B.C., which means essentially they first showed up. They first showed up maybe as early as 40,000 years ago, maybe not quite that much, but certainly by 30,000 or so, 25,000 or so, they certainly were extant in Europe. And from what I gather, it shows them as being light-complected. They probably had light eyes. Maybe they didn't. Maybe they were like these Amorites, who were the lightest of the Canaanites. But getting on with it is that I don't really know. But you gotta understand with the 6 day, 8 day controversy is that Eli James makes up shit here. He has no idea what the hell he's talking about. And he would have been a far lot safer if he'd have stuck with the Comparean view and just simply mentioned it. But no, I mean, and for which I'm grateful. I'm grateful that Eli James didn't have enough sense but to go ahead and get in trouble. And I was hearing this crap from him the other, when was it? Saturday night. We just talked about some Canaanites can be saved. Huh? Huh? Where do you get that? Old, not so sly Eli. Where do you get that at? Answer, he just dug it out of his ass here. Eli's a Jew, so some of these Canaanites can be saved. Well, he's thinking of himself. That's where he gets to that. He's a Canaanite himself, so that, I'm a good Canaanite. I have the fruits here. and you'll have these masters like James and Just and a number of these other tards. Oh, your fruit's here. It's not your race. Not by your race are you saved, but by grace. Well, folks, if you're not, if you don't have the race, you're not going to get the grace. Okay? If you don't have the race, you will not get the grace. Don't be telling me that juicy fruit, that J-E-W-W-C-Y, fruit, is going to save your ass. If you don't have the race, you won't get the grace. If you're a Jew, you're a spawn of Satan. There's no such thing in dual seed line Christian identity as a good Canaanite, except maybe a dead Canaanite. And those dead Canaanites ain't dead soon enough. You know, you don't have the race, you don't get the grace. Grace is something, there's something that's extended to you that Jesus Christ chooses you. Now, even if you do have the race, and you choose to ignore what's written on your heart, you won't have the grace either. But first you have to have the race before you're going to get the grace. Okay? I guess that rhymes. I guess that does rhyme. And juicy fruit, you know, even if you're a manzer, a righteous manzer, there's no such thing as a righteous manzer. You're somebody who might be able to live a relatively just lifestyle. But folks, I'm not able to say, you know, I'm not able to promise for Yahweh what you're going to get. I'm pretty well told. I'm pretty, you know, and whenever people ask me that, I tell them that I am not sent. I'm just like Jesus Christ, and that I'm not sent except to the found sheep of the house of Israel. Now, Jesus Christ was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It was his job to find them. It was his job to bring them in, and by this new covenant, bring them in. But I'm not Jesus Christ. I can only deal with the found sheep of the house of Israel. You're not coming in because of me. All I'm doing, and all the show is out to do, is tell you to stay away from movement turds. Stay away from people who will get you in trouble, people who will get you in prison. And folks, there's a time for everything, and you know, there's a time for everything under the season. There's a time for war, but now is the time to stay under the radar. There's no peaceful solution. There's no political solution. My lawsuits and the rest are to demonstrate that there is no peaceful solution. There's no political solution. The only solution is civil war. And folks, Zog already knows about me. They've given their best shot. They might go ahead and give another best shot. I mean, I could be arrested tomorrow. But I'm not going to stop preaching what I am preaching. But folks, I'm not out to proselytize anyone. And neither is any other legitimate Christian identity pastor. You'll see John Britton going out and holding a revival. You're not going to see anybody holding a revival. Essentially, where we are at is pretty well trying to tell what the Orthodox Christian identity is. And the Orthodox Christian identity has already been defined beyond any ability of myself to make any better by Bertrand Comparé. Now, Willie Martin would do a fairly good job of it. He would expand on a 2,000 or 3,000 word essay written by Bertrand Comparé. But just because Willie Martin made it 20,000 or 30,000 words didn't mean that it was better. In fact, I sort of thought that the Comparé version was far better than what Willie Martin would come up with. But Willie Martin would add more detail. He would flesh it out. And for those who really liked having it fleshed out, Willie Martin was quite a teacher. And Willie Martin was a good teacher of Christian identity. It looks like Eli has given up talking about Willie Martin. Because he didn't know Willie Martin. He's just trying to, you know, sneak in under a dead man who can't go ahead and tell him to be gone. I knew Willie Martin. And Willie Martin has strengths and Willie Martin has faults. His strengths was he is a kind, just, you know, wonderful, meek man. His weaknesses is that he was a kind man to people who did have no right to expect kindness from him. And in many cases, I would act like Willie Martin's hatchet man and do some of the stuff that Willie Martin was not strong enough to do. And sometimes I would not get thanks from Willie Martin for running off Jews like Yair Davidi and John Perna and Richard Nimoy. And in some cases, Willie was way too meek and way too nice with people who he should not have had anything to do with. But getting on with it, Beast of the Field. The North American Indians, they were not really known by the people. There's no need to talk about them in the in the Bible. So they're not mentioned. The Orientals, they may have been known, but there was not enough of them to matter. The only critters who may have been known were the niggers. That's it. And they were referred to as beasts of the field. The story of the Bible is divided between the fight between good and evil. Between good and evil, the good seed line, i.e., those descended from Adam, those descended from Seth, through to Noah, through to Shem, through to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Israel. And it's about the spawn of Satan, the bad seed line. Those descended from Cain, who was the son of Satan. Those descended from, from Cain down through to Tubal-Cain and Naama, Tubal-Cain's sister Naama, a Esther Kikas who married Ham, who gave birth to Canaan, who in turn gave birth to the Hittites, who in turn eventually became the Khazars, a.k.a. the Ashkenazi Jews. So all the Jews, they're descended from Satan. They're all Cain's children. They're all Kenites. Now, you have some who don't have as much, like they're Tubal-Cainites, they're Pictish. In the case of the Assyrians, you had a son. You had a son of Shem. Okay. Oh, so Anonymous says he can't chat. Could you change that? Could you go ahead and change that for Anonymous? INTJ? Well, that's what they say. The Hittites were not Indo-Europeans. You want to go ahead and look what the Hittites look like? Everybody said, well, how could they speak an Indo-European language and have round hair and big noses like Jews? Well, the reason they had round skulls and big noses like Jews is because they had round heads and big noses like Jews because they were Jews. You know the case, in some case, of this Jew archaeology student who went around with a chisel and hammered off the big old Jew noses off all these Hittites. In the case of the Assyrians, you had descended from Shem. The Assyrians, well, Asher was one of the sons of Shem, as was Elam. But you had Nimrod. You had Nimrod, in some cases, forcing the Elamites to miscegenate with the Dravidian niggers. So as a result, a lot of the Elamites looked like niggers because they were niggers. In the case of the Assyrians, they had the sons of Cain over them, the Aki. So just like today, if you went ahead and looked, and judging by what you see, why you might think that the Americans are a bunch of niggers because they had, right now we have a nigger supposedly as president. Now folks, if you go ahead and take a picture of Obongo's cabinet, would you think that that is the average American? Well, you would, looking back on it 3,000 years from now. Well, there ain't any white men. Well, shit, there were no white men. No Americans were white men. They must have been a bunch of niggers. See, we got a picture of a monkey there. Like one of our people. Folks, the Hittites were not, they may have spoken an Anglo-European language, just like Spanish is an Anglo-European language, but guess what? Most of them who speak it in this country are beaners. They're not Anglo-Europeans. They're not Visigothic descent, other than maybe a portion of it. So these Hittites were Canaanites, and you have in the Bible a fight between the good seed line, the Adamites, through to the Abrahamites, to the Isaacites, to the Jacob Israelites, and you have the bad seed line of Satan, through Cain, through Canaan, through the Hittites, through, you know, be they Sephardic Jews, Sephardic Edomites, or Ashkenazi Hittites Jews. They're all Jews. There's a reason that Hittite, you know, that Jew DNA traces to the Mideast. It traces from the Canaanites. There's a reason for it. Anyway, Anonymous, I don't know if you can chat yet or not. I asked somebody to allow you to chat. So, the Hittites were Jews? Well, yes, the Hittites were Jews. There's a reason that... Oh, still can't? INTJ, would you be able to allow... well, let me see. Let's see if I can do it here. Heck, where am I at here? I'm trying to figure out how to give you open text chat. Let's see if that works. Nope, it didn't work. I just went ahead and screwed up my chat. Oh no. Or did I? No, I didn't. INTJ, could you go ahead and let Anonymous chat here? Figure out how to do it. Okay? Where am I at here? I'm trying to figure out how to let Anonymous. Okay, well, you're able to work on your own chat room. I'm trying to figure out how to get you into the regular chat server. I don't know. I didn't have much luck here. Okay. Well, it says that you can now. I don't know. INTJ, could you help Anonymous get into the chat? Getting on to it. Let me see, what else? We went ahead earlier, this was not recorded, asking about Cro-Magnon men. And the Cro-Magnons date back somewhere around 30,000 years ago. And then they seem to have sort of disappeared 7,000 years ago or so. Well, folks, Christian identity holds that Adam was not made for the garden, but the garden was made for Adam. And that the creation from the first days to the sixth days, with your six-day beast in the field, is that Yahweh rested the seventh day, and Adam was individually formed and given the breath of life and made into a living soul, given the possibility of having immortal life from being the same thing that I suppose Yahweh and Jesus Christ are made of, Holy Spirit. So, in any case, the creation was done when Adam was created. Adam was the very last thing to be made. And he was created well after the garden was here. Now, someone said, and I believe it's true, is that now Eli or James is claiming that some lucky Cro-Magnon was picked by Yahweh and, you know, and made or created or what have you. And folks, that's not biblical. That's just nonsense that I think Eli James has come up with, which is fine. I mean, as if I care what Eli or James has to say to other Mamzers, but that's not biblical at all. Not at all. Essentially, Adam was created, Adam was created on his own. He wasn't some lucky Cro-Magnon who 7,000 years ago Yahweh went ahead and picked up. And then Yahweh wasn't creating any more Cro-Magnons anymore. Now, I think it's entirely possible that some Adamites may have interbred with Cro-Magnon, but then again, it's entirely possible that they didn't. I really do not like speculating about stuff I know nothing about. I'm not Finkelstein. I'm not Finkelshini. I don't run a Talmudic sewing circle to where I come up with new doctrine. I come up with new... No. Someone says the Cro-Magnon where Aaron's book, The Long Word Story, 30,000 years ago. No. Adam was only. Adam was created 7,000 years ago. How could Cro-Magnon have been destroyed 30,000 years ago? I think that the Adamites essentially displaced the Cro-Magnons, or maybe Yahweh let them die off, or maybe Yahweh let some of the Adamites marry in to light-skinned Cro-Magnons. Man, the fact of the matter is that I really don't know. I really don't know. But it does seem that there were Cro-Magnons 30,000 years ago, and that Adam was created around 7,000 years ago, according to the Septuagint. The Septuagint adds another 1,000 years that the Masoretic text of the King James perversion took away. So Adam was created around 7,000 years ago. And, folks, since he was created 7,000 years ago, not 6,010 years ago, at September 1st, at 9 o'clock a.m. of 4004 B.C., but actually around 7,000 years ago. And around that time, you see a lot of changes. You see the beginning of writing. You see a number of things. So, we end up, I believe that Adam was a separate creation. Adam was a totally separate, Cro-Magnon may have been fallen angels. Maybe. I don't know. The thing about it, King James was a nigger. No, King James wasn't a nigger. King James was sometimes a faggot. King James was a sanctimonious ass clown who had all sorts of notions that whatever the hell he said was right. King James was. I don't think near as good of a monarch as Queen Elizabeth, but I don't think he was a nigger or anything like that. Well, Eli James is probably part nigger. He's just a part of Jew. But folks, I don't believe in running around, as far as the Cro-Magnons, they seem to have disappeared around 7,000 years ago, about the time the Adamites appeared, when Adam was created. Now, did maybe some of Adam's sons and daughters who were obedient, who didn't gather around the Tarim Basin north of the Himalayas, and who were drowned out as a result of their miscegenation of sins, as part of the first Zog Babylon, around 5,000 some years ago plus. Now, did they sort of maybe integrate and, marry these Cro-Magnons? And the answer is maybe. Maybe they did, and maybe they don't. But I don't know. I really don't know. And the Bible doesn't really say anything. Just like the Bible does not mention American Indians or the Chinese, that doesn't mean that the Chinese or American Indians don't exist. They did exist. They're just not mentioned in the Bible. The Bible does not talk about nuclear physics. The Bible does not talk about a number of things that do exist. The Bible is concerned with the racial struggle between good and evil, between the sons of Adam, through Noah, through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Israel, and the spawn of Satan, the Jews. descended from Cain, the first Jew, from Satan, down to Canaan, down through Esau, Edom. And folks, the Bible concerns only these two groups here, these evil Jews and the white men, the sons of Adam. And that's all the Bible concerns. It doesn't concern the Chinese. It doesn't concern Aborigines living in Australia screwing their dingoes. It don't concern, niggers in Africa. It don't concern all these people who are where Yahweh placed them. The reason we have this problem today, the reason we have, well, I see you on the chat line. Can a white man have black hair? Yeah. Reaching formula. Anonymous, I don't, it says you were disconnected, said you were connected. I don't really know how to get you back on. Really don't. Could you? Well, I did 3 weeks ago. Well, let me see. I'm trying to figure out how to get anonymous. Let's see. Find connection info? I don't know. Okay, I need to be normal. Okay, well, let's see. I'm trying to go ahead and get. Okay, let's see. Permissions. Okay, let me see. Okay, I'm trying to. I just have trouble trying to get anonymous. Trying to get anonymous. Thing. What does Japheth shall inherit Shem's tent meant? I mean, the answer is, I guess Japheth shall inhabit Shem's tent. I really have a problem with that. I'm not too crazy if I want a bunch of not quite Shemites, to inhabit our tent. I imagine if they remain white, Japhethites, they would of course be allowed to live among us here. So maybe that means that maybe I shouldn't be so mean to the to the Slavs, maybe that's what it means. But yeah, you end up having someone like when I was talking to Russ Walker months ago. I went ahead and pointed out Deuteronomy 23:7 said that the Egyptians and Esauites or the Edomites, after three generations, they would be allowed to, be in the congregation of the house of Israel. And Russ couldn't seem to figure out what that meant. And I said, well, what it means is that if you're an Egyptian, you were by definition a white man. Well, see, way back then, up to the first kingdom and well into the middle kingdom, an African nigger that wandered past the first cataract at Elephantine was killed on sight. The Egyptians did not want any niggers polluting their gene pool. And that occurred, at least in the Old Kingdom, and maybe into a portion of the New Kingdom, you know, the Middle Kingdom as well, the Middle Dynasties. And, you know, essentially, back then, you also had Esau. Now, Esau married two Canaanite women. And that was when Esau lost his birthright, because he had racially mixed. But he also married in order to please his father Isaac and his mother Rebekah. He also married his uncle Ishmael's daughter. And John Britton knows the name of okay, I got kicked off and now I'm back again. Pastor John Britton does know the name of Ishmael's daughter who married into Esau's line. So folks, you still had some white Esauites. You still had some Adamic. Well, you still had some Adamic Esauites who they could marry about the time of Moses. But as time went on, the Edomites tended to marry into their own bloodline, and they got Canaanite into them. They got Jew into them. Just as the same way with the Egyptians. The Egyptians no longer are white. Now, when do they become non-white? And the answer is, well, when they allowed all these niggers to come in. So, does it mean they're a white person? Well, it means that they're white enough to where they can blush. I see plenty of Anglo mestizos running around. So, getting on is that, you know, around the time of Moses was 400 some years before the time of David. David lived around AD 1000. That's when Solomon lived, around AD 1000. Moses brought them out of Egypt about 400 years before David's time, from what I gather. So 1400 years ago, were there still, when Moses was writing that, were there still white Egyptians? Answer, yes. Were there still white Edomites who were not intermixed even after 400 years of slavery, who were not intermixed into the Canaanite version of the Edomites? And the answer is that there were. But was that the case by the time of Jesus Christ or even the time of David? The answer is no, it wasn't. See, there's about 1,000 years between David and Jesus Christ. If David lived around 1,000 B.C., there'd be, what, about 1,000 years between King David and his descendant, Jesus Christ. Okay? And, you know, look, Massachusetts 1488, I mean, you can go ahead and look at a DNA test. It's just that I believe there are people who are, you know, not mixed here. Some of the Jews like to say, well, you're doomed because there are no pure white people left anymore. And if you believe Jews when they say that, then, hey, you've already given up. You've already said, well, what is the point of going ahead and fighting if you believe, like the Jews like to tell you, that there are no more pure white people left? I believe there are pure white people left. Now, folks, it's just sort of like what happened on Halloween night when Elijah James came on. All right, you have to get a DNA test from me and Brian Reel to show that we're not white. I said, why? Can I look at you? Brian Reel obviously is not white. How dare you violate Yahweh's law by saying Brian Rio ain't white. Well, he isn't white. And folks, I wouldn't, the second thing, I wouldn't trust any DNA test administered by a Jew. Folks, if you still got light colored eyes, you still have brown hair. Folks, I went through Sweden in November of 1982, and only about a third of the people were blonde, blue eyed. The vast majority of the people were, light brown haired, blue eyed. Looked a lot like me. You know what I mean? So, in any case, the blonde, and I go ahead and see it. I see a whole bunch of these here, little like Carrie Underwood. Pastor John Britton says that she's an Anglo mestizo. She looks pretty cute, I'll grant that, but she has brown eyes. But folks, and brown eyes, I'm talking about light colored eyes. I'm not talking about burnt cork. Or black eyes. I'm not talking about man's or eyes. The eyes are the first thing to go. Well, Trader Glenn Miller, don't pay attention, the black hair. You pay attention, Trader Glenn Miller got Anglo mestizo eyes. Used to have Hadding come whining about how we called Trader Glenn Miller a race traitor because he was screwing this Filipino bar girl or Hawaiian or something like that, and the Filipino or whatever he's screwing was either named Rabang or she gave birth to a baby daughter who was named Rabang or something like that. And folks, I just pretty well covered it. Trader Glenn Miller was always a drunken Anglo mestizo. He can't handle his liquor. He's drunk all the time. You go ahead and look at him. He has Manzer eyes. Trader Glenn Miller is not a white man. So getting on a non-white for essentially copulating with other non-whites is a waste of time, is a waste of breath. I mean, Trader Glenn Miller isn't white, never was white. So why go, has copulated with dinks? Well, Trader Glenn Miller equals traitor. So what difference is it? It's not his hair color. I mean, Trader Glenn Miller is a drunken Anglo mestizo. He's back from North Carolina or so, where you had a bunch of Cherokee Indians. And I've been discussing that with Pastor John Britton, is that you had some of the Chinese you had the Cherokees who did have a bunch of white genes. And, John Britton was talking about how some of the bronze, some of the copper in the New World, its molecular origin traces from the shores of Lake Superior, where you had these copper nuggets. The Chippewa used to use these copper nuggets and hammer it into little ornaments or something like that. But you have some bronze which was brought to the old world. Not prehistoric, but ancient bronze with the copper, molecular copper traced to Lake Superior. Now, I point out to Pastor John Britton, let's say you had a one heck of a good trading system to where you knew how to carry the westerly winds. I think it was called the horse latitude winds. And then come back, just like Columbus did. He went down to about the Cape Verde Islands and then crossed over to where he got to the Caribbean. And then he went up here and he got to the what they called the trade winds, which took him back to Europe. He followed a circle of the winds. Now let's say you were a, quote, Phoenician, a.k.a. Israelite sailor, and you had trade going in with these people. Would you gone ahead and told everybody? Would you have written a book, How I Made $1 Million Trading with the Red Niggers Here for Copper or for Gold or for anything else? The answer is no. You've kept your mouth shut. you had a bunch of, you had, I believe, some limited trade, but you also had, you know, in the case of the, fishermen, they went ahead and explored the Grand Banks, and they kept it sort of secret because they were fishing there. No need to tell the king where you got the fish. No need to tell anybody else where you got the fish. So, yeah. Yeah, well, he, old Bruce Gorman. I asked him if he was a Jew. Call him Goof, Bruce Gormanzer. So, folks, there's a lot of stuff that is not mentioned in the Bible to where you have a number of things go on that's not mentioned in the Bible. The Bible, as far as the Old Testament, was, you know, the last books of the Bible that was actually written was about 500 years or so in the time of Nehemiah. In the time of Nehemiah and Ezra. That was about the last of the prophets in the Old Testament. And they were figuring it out in Septuagint. Sometime after the time of Christ. But as far as the New Testament is concerned, the last book of it, Revelations, was supposedly put paper to pen by John writing on the island of Patmos around AD 69. So folks, did they cover all the stuff that we know today? And the answer is no. Did they cover anything about the Cro-Magnons or anything like that? And the answer is no. Did they cover anything about the American Indians? No. Did they cover anything really about the Chinese? No. Do they cover what's happening on in Africa among the niggers there? No. The Bible concerns only limited things. The fight between good and evil, between the white man and, you know, the Adamite, Israelite white man and the spawn of Satan Jews. And trying to make it cover something that the Bible doesn't cover is a surefire way to either blunder into, you know, to where you don't know anything about what you're talking about. And folks, I really don't like talking about some things I don't talk about, although I do like talking quite a bit. So anyway, I'm going to take another break, and we might or might not have another, we might or might not have another segment. So hold on, folks. There was some dork named Hal who thought the Fibbies were his pal. So he went ahead and made a deal to spend. But he threatened Judges 3 and Jury slapped old Hal's pee-pee. So Hal's gonna be my dick swigger bitch. Zog'll fuck you up. Yeah, Zog'll fuck you up. If you don't obey the dirty Jew's commands. Zog'll fuck you up. Yeah, Zog'll fuck you up. So you best be a rebellin' while you can. Long ago, a rat named Glenn ran his comrades over and again. But Zog gave him a bag full of Zog bucks. A little Guido loves diggling fox, stitches, tickles, and cocksucks. The colostomy bag's name is VNN. Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. If you don't obey the dirty Jew's command. Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. So you best be a rebellin' while you can. I used to know a pop named Visser, a Duke Mississippi little pisser, who was going ass to mouth with lying right. A mom that niggling East molester, a pisser, pooping possum chester, not a single one of them was very bright. Zog'll fuck you up. Yeah, Zog'll fuck you up.
If you don't obey the dirty Jew's commands, Zog'll fuck you up. Yeah, Zog'll fuck you up. So you best be a rebelling while you can.
Okay, folks, we're back. Now, the topic I'm going to cover is Obagender Bender Pisser Pusser Possum, a.k.a. Obadiah 118. You have Little Sword Mamser, and you have Liar Bill. And the thing is, who does the Beer Barrel think they're fooling? And it's over on the ChristianIdentityForum.net, SMS, General Discussion. And I'm going to go ahead and log it in. And the reason I'm going to do that is I do want to discuss about how every little Whigger and Mamser Tard thinks that they're the ones who get to determine what is allowable as far as free speech. So there's a link. But remember that silly woman, that silly, 65-year-old heifer who runs around spray-painting out Nazi graffiti over in Germany, over in Berlin. Oh boy, I got poked again. Let me see. Okay. Well, it looks like Northwest, he left. Okay. No remorse. Well, that's good. Oh boy, I'm trying to figure out something here. I don't know. Well, I do like Freedom Sons better than I like Killer Ravens. Covington was talking about that sort of thing. But folks, what I'm going to do is I'm not quite sure how I managed to enable chatting or something like that, and I'll work on it when I can. Covington's position on religion is to try to avoid talking about it. He knows full well that he's going to have to get along with Christian Identity people, and he's going to have to get along with his Nazi people, and in many cases he's not able to do that very well. So, getting on with this, you have Obagender Bender saying there's no such thing as free speech, people. There's no free speech in the Bible and no free speech in society. Get over it. And then you end up having him and Liar Bill go ahead. Liar Bill's talking about what a what a retard I am. He's threatening to call the hosting company of Hostmaster. He's whining about how I'm such a retard and all this sort of thing. And from what I gather, this moderator over on Beer Barrel found out about this particular retard, caught him sneaking and snooping around, and banned Liar Bill's worthless ass and kicked him out. Now you have Obagender Bender whining about Marty, abject failure that he is, has built this entire mystery around criticizing and slandering people in the white nationalist Christian Identity movements because the only way he can make himself look good is to make others look bad. That's why whenever someone calls the Muslims insanity, he immediately demonizes them as Jews, Mamsers, fags, or whatever grab bag or pejorative he can come up with at the time. Now, the truth of the matter is that I don't have much good to say about most people in the so-called white nationalist movement because most of them are retards. Most of them are, well, in the case of Liability Clues, he's just nothing more than just a little criminal who got caught and who's been snitching and sneaking and snooping and spying and being oh so righteous the entire time this critter is infested white nationalism. If you see someone like old Monk's Nuts around, kick his worthless ass to the curb right then and there. Tell him he's not allowed, just like Billy Roper, just like even more Scalette figured out. Now, in the case of old Magenta Bender, this character showed up, and it thinks that it gets to bitch and piss and moan about how evil I am because I kick out or I expose all these criminals. Now, I've exposed Elijah James. I've exposed Visser. I've exposed Finkelstein. And he's whining. He's whining about Bill Fink as how I was nice to Bill Fink. Well, folks, once I figured out Bill Fink was a criminal, once I figured out he was a criminal, I actually started listening to Bill Fink and found out that the critter was a Jew. Figured out the critter didn't belong. Didn't belong within Christianity or white nationalism. But he goes on, he says, Marty used to sing Bill Fink's praises loudly for his theological work in the DSCI websites he created, but once they had falling out, Bill suddenly, as if by magic, metamorphized into Tubal Kenite Ashkenazi Jew. How Bill's glaring Jewish physical characteristics went unnoticed by Marty for so long is something that Marty has yet to explain to anyone's satisfaction save his. Well, I can't explain anything to Obagender Bender's satisfaction. I mean, about the only thing that will satisfy Obagender Bender is $20 for giving out what should be a free blowjob to truckers. I mean, Obadiah showed up. The critter has no business being Christian identity. He likes pretending to be something it's not. Nobody knows what its name is. I'm going to try to subpoena it, of course, and actually find out who it is. But folks, once I figured out Fink was a criminal, I started listening to what Fink was actually saying. And got them to admit this crap about how the Roman Catholic Church put Satan in a pit between 500 and 1500, and then the Protestant Reformation began, and the Jews was the Protestant Reformation, or whatever the hell it was, and how Hitler is the Archangel Michael, and all this other idiotic crap that these people make up, be it Eli James or Finkelstein. I found out that Brian Rear was nothing more than a Manzer. And here's Obagender Bender, and here's, you know, here's Liar Bill and Obagender Bender. Now, face of their form should be called Two and a Half Manzers, because that's all it is. Two Manzers, Obagender Bender and Brian Rear, and essentially the one who hangs around like Mumps Nuts. The big joke is while Marty is accusing us of being Mongols and Kikes, he's buddying up to Nimbusters, most of whom are Mongols and Kikes. Nimbusters was originally established to combat white racism. What racial group is pretty much behind all anti-racist groups and websites? But does Marty cast any doubt on their ethnicity? Nope, I've never heard him question Nimbusters' racial lineage. Even for a second, he argues the Nimbusters today are not the same as the Nimbusters of several years ago. He expects us to believe that, like Bill Fink, they underwent a magical transformation, except in their case, they went from being white-hating Jew activists to a moral but likable Anglo-Saxon rogues virtually overnight. Now, the answer to that, Obagender Bender, is that unlike you, Obagender Bender, unlike Brian Rear, unlike Mumps Nuts, Liability Clueless, the Nimbusters have never claimed to be Christian identity. Many of them never claimed to be white nationalists. Some of them might very well be Jews. Some of them might very well be homosexuals, just like Obagender Bender and Brian Rear. Some of them are a number of things. But, folks, they never take down web pages. Brian Rear takes down web pages. Now, Brian Rear started out as an anti-racist activist, and he still is. He doesn't know how to stop. Doesn't know how to stop at all. And Obagender Bender doesn't believe in free speech. This critter never did believe in free speech. Now, it started out over at the NNF, what, 3-4 years ago? And it said, fuck the rules, they suck. I get to call anybody a Jew without proof that I want to. And that's all Obagender Bender can do. It got a forum. It got a forum for which everybody's been stating, hey, look, folks, Sword Manser is not, you know, Brian Rear isn't white. The critter's an imposter. But yet, you have Obadiah 118 who runs this Christian Identity Forum. the critter really ought to change it to 2.5 Mamsers, because that's all he has on it. Update for Swordman, brethren. Marty is still posting over at the beer barrel under his John Q. Wigger sock puppet. And he's whining about, Apple Chump, that he calls it. Told you I banned the wrong account. He's going on and on and on about it's not him, and I'm listening to this crap. Then comes on with Marty has never believed in the CI message. In fact, it's rather obvious he doesn't know what CI is about. Having never studied, well, Liar Bill could study the Kingdom Identity Mysteries, their correspondence course. Liar Bill won't know how to behave. He still won't know how to behave. Going on. Remember when I came back to Visser's forum last March, right after Visser had banned Marty, and Marty was whining about Visser while praising Fink as a true religious pastor of CI, and how together they would save the world from Mamsrath clownery? Well, from what I gather, Liar Bill, I don't think, is welcome over at Finkelstein's anymore. I think they figured out that Muffness is nothing more than just a little criminal tard who's spying on them for the St. Louis FBI. But he goes on how he's predicting that I would fight with Fink, and how we're wailing and gnashing our little baby keepers out the DFCI cave. Well, how unfair it is that we have to keep our words and abide by the terms of service agreements that they had agreed to in order to be online. Essentially, what you have is you have 2.5 Mamsers whining and pissing and moaning that their notion of what free speech is allowed should be the only amount of free speech to be allowed. But folks, I have a solution. I believe that everyone who believes that somebody else shouldn't be allowed to vote, or somebody who shouldn't be allowed to speak, or somebody who, somebody shouldn't be allowed to have the rights of white men as long as they're white, and who believes that Mamsers should be allowed into the congregation, I propose that what we have a great tribulation. And at the very end is that Whiggers, who cannot behave, like Liar Bill, and Mamsers, like Obagender Bender, and Sword Mamser, and all these G corporations and the rest, that in the Civil War, that we get down to about 10 million people, white people, who agree that we're all going to live in peace by minding our own business and not taking stuff that don't belong to us. Now, Liar Bill has no reason, no good reason to be in Christian Dandy. Nobody in his right mind should have anything to do with Liar Bill. He's obviously just a criminal, obviously just a snitch. Liar Bill's problem is he came down whining and pissing and moaning for me to ordain him. I ordained him, and within 3 days he was running whining to Clint Downey and a little meerkat over in Spurfoot, coming up with a big story about how I told him that he couldn't be in Stormfront, that I had to have him hate everybody. Well, that's a total lie. Liar Bill does tell nothing but lies. Essentially, I found out about Liar Bill and kicked his ass to the curb within 3 days, which is the soonest anybody has kicked that bastard out. And looking at an email that one of the moderators over at Beer Barrel gave me, I pretty well pointed out, he pretty well pointed out that Liar Bill got caught red-handed. Liar Bill is not very smart. He's seemingly obsessed with me and Pastor John Britton. He's got to spy and spy and spy and spy on us. And so does the rest of these retards. So folks, what you have is that you have these people who have no idea of how to behave, no idea of how to act, and what they do is that they run around, they run around and essentially don't know how to behave. Folks, be you a Republican Party member who goes along with essentially saying that the very people who keep you in power, that white people have no right to run for public office, that white people have no reason to essentially exist other than as slaves, while you pretend to be for white people, but when you're actually supporting corporations, you're actually supporting letting Jews run wild, when you're actually supporting just living off of white people, and that white people have no right to vote, they have no right to run for public office. I mean, someone like that ought to be treated as a traitor. They ought to be kicked out of the white country, the white nation that they infest, that they do so much evil. And folks, that's why I keep on getting to where we have a Whigger problem. Someone who's an obvious Mamzer, someone who's an obvious, you know, an obvious Mamzer like Brian Reel, would Brian Reel be able to get very far if these hosting companies hadn't gone ahead and violated the express law, the DMCA, and used the terms of service complaint? Folks, if you go ahead and violate, you use your power, corporate or governmental, to destroy any rights or any privileges by a white person, you and your family should be put to death. You and your family should be kicked out of a white civilization. You should be kicked to the curb to Mexico or Nigeria or whatever. Wherever you think that your little bit of anti-white racism will pass very far. But folks, if you're a Whigger and you live in Mexico or you live in Nigeria or wherever, your little anti-white racism isn't going to go very far, because the rest of the Mamzers will want to live off of you. It's because of Whiggers, it's because of regime criminals that Brian Reel got as far as he did far more than even Jews dare do. Oba Genderbender, another criminal, another Mamzer criminal who showed up and is all annoyed that it don't get to define how things act. And as a result, it is pretty well stuck over on 2.5 Mamzers, being the head Mamzer of a declining forum that nobody looks at except to see what the hell you're saying about Pastor Martin Lindstor or Pastor John Britton and what crap you're going to pull today. What evil crap you're going to pull today. Liar Bill, Brian Reel, Oba Genderbender, you really have nobody listening to you. Nobody except a total idiot believes that you're Christian Dante. Nobody but a complete idiot believes that you're white. In the case of Mumps Nuts, yes, he's white, but you know, shit, has an 85 IQ on a good day. It, you know, come down to me, oh, Martin, I'm never going to say that you molested your grandchildren. Well, because I was charged with 2 counts of sexual assault by one of my nieces. And he was talking about his niglet nieces. Well, what the hell am I supposed to think about that? So, anyway, getting on to it, folks, you have all these people who pretend that they're something that they're not. And they don't know how to behave. And they keep on doing the same stupid crap as if Whiggers will last forever. But folks, the Whigger lifestyle is declining. Whiggers are no longer even able to take care of themselves. Let's see, a week or so ago I did the story about this California town which no longer could afford to pay salaries, which could no longer afford to pay benefits. What did they do? Essentially, they laid off better than half the workforce. They just simply fired them. And folks, you're going to see more and more of that. You're going to see pigs who are out of a job, and guess what? They're used to being brutal pigs. They're used to being thieves. They're used to being criminals. Do you think they're going to stop? And the answer is no. Folks, in this country, things are turning worse and worse and worse and worse. So what do you need to do? You need to prepare for yourself. You don't need to make a big deal about your Christian identity, or you're a badass white nationalist, or you're a militia member, or you're against Zog, or whatever. You need to keep a low profile. You need to get in right with Yahweh. You need to keep your mouth shut to stay alive. That's exactly what the hell you need to do. So, folks, I went ahead and looked. There's really nothing. There's not really much going on in the white nationalist movement. If I see something coming up, I'll go ahead and do a quickie show without chat tonight. Tonight being Sunday was one of the times for chat to take place, and so I did go ahead and allow as best I could the chat. Now, in some cases, I'm not quite sure how to, how to get the matter fixed up or not. But, folks, I'm going to go ahead and advise you to essentially keep your ears open, mind your own business, don't think that there's a political solution because there's not. Don't think there's a peaceful solution because there's not. You have figures running around like zombies. Right now, I'm looking at the thing. It says, Aegis Revolution in Doubt. Essentially, you have a bunch of rioting sand niggers. You have a bunch of critters running around rioting right now in Egypt. It says the revolution is in doubt. Folks, who are you going to revolt against? A democracy? Folks, we don't even have democracy in this country. What's the best Christian identity resource? I would have said Church of True Israel. That's what I'd say is the best. Is the best Christian identity is the best Christian identity resource. Nothing wrong with finding out more about your basic Bertrand Comparé. Study him. Study Wesley Swift. If you have $100, you might pay $100 for the Kingdom Identity Ministries book. What's the URL? I don't know. Check out Church of True Israel. I think that's the, I'm not sure if it's churchoftrueisrael.com or something like that. You might do a Google search on Church of True Israel and find it that way. And head out to your basic Bertrand Comparé studies, okay? So getting on, Israel Elect. Okay. I don't know, I have a little bit of a problem with Israel Elect because old Jewel Mosley supposedly is now the owner of one of those. And I have a problem with old Jewel Mosley. He's essentially he's one of Brian Rio's little Mamsertards. I have a problem with Fink. He's been trying to take control over quite a bit of Christian identity websites. Well, at the same time, I've been increasingly banned from it. Okay? Seth Williams. No. Seth Williams, according to Jewel, is no longer the administrator. Old Jewel Mosley is the administrator, according to Jewel. So, Church, I would go to Church of True Israel. It has a lot of Comparé stuff. Unlike Church of True Israel, you don't have Emmaheiser trying to dismantle Bertrand Comparé like Emmaheiser trying to do. Okay? Oh, has he? Well, I didn't know that. I just don't trust Jarrell. Seth Williams. Seth Williams from Arkansas. Oh, okay. Is Seth Williams from Arkansas? Oh, okay. Well, Frank Wigger says he doesn't know. He says that, Jarrell has always owned the domain. Seth was his admin. Okay, well, that might be the case. Jarrell said that he got control of it just recently. So I don't know if he's always owned the domain or not here. Jarrell mostly is a rather vicious old evil fart, and him and Brian Rail were best of pals. So I don't think he does have either. I don't know if he's going to change it or not, but Church of True Israel, that's an offshoot. That's an offshoot from, when a bunch of people got, they didn't agree with what Butler was doing in the 1990s, and they pretty well set their own, church up, their own little council. So Church of True Israel, I would recommend going there, as opposed to Israel Elect. In case. Well, that's true. That is true.
He's an evil,
I mean, that's pretty well what I think about old Jurel. He's an evil old Banzer faggot that brought that filthy blubber lips in the congregation. That's exactly what I think. If you get a chance, check out as much from Church of True Israel. And then, if you want it, go ahead and see how it compares with Bertrand Comparé, as mentioned over on Israel Elect, and certainly on Finkelstein's. What you'll see is that, in the case of Comparé, on some place where Emmerheiser gets it, you have Emmerheiser not agreeing with Comparé, because he doesn't want to believe that Yahweh may or may not have made niggers or anything like that. And folks, I don't have a problem with Yahweh making everything. He didn't make Jews, he didn't make Mansers. But in that, I think Yahweh did, did create some of the Negroes and probably all the American Indians and probably all the Chinese and the Japanese and whatever in their own particular place. Folks, I'm not about hating non-whites. I don't have a problem with non-whites, certainly not Arabs, as long as they're in their own country where they belong. I don't have a problem with them killing all the Jews in Israel. Don't have a problem with them doing that at all. In fact, I sort of hope they do that. From what I gather, some of these Jews, Covington was saying last week that a lot of these Jews are going to have a choice between waiting to be slaughtered by all these Arabs because they're outnumbering them now and having a one-state solution, in which case the Arabs get one man, one vote, just like the Jews have been forcing upon Rhodesia and South Africa. Once the Arabs get the one man, one vote the Jews claim to love so much, essentially they will be voted out of existence in Israel. Israel, or the Khazaristan upon the Jordan, is actually what's called a crusader state. It's not going to long exist without Zog putting in a lot of time and money and everything else into it. It's not going to exist forever. Satan brought, I don't know if he brought all the niggers into the plant. There's some Maasai who claim they come from the plant Dogon, and that Satan brought them in on flying saucers, spaceships, or whatever, thousands and thousands of years ago. More like 17,000 years ago or whenever. So I don't have a problem with that. I mean, that is one of the common, more common beliefs than Christian identity. Now, I don't think it's a Comparean belief. I think Wesley Swift believes it, and I don't have a problem with that either. Really don't. To be honest with you, I wasn't around 17,000 years ago, so I can't tell you one way or the other. Okay? When someone goes ahead and asks here, say Jurel goes ahead and went and asked about Mansers, tell them that Mansers come out of Uranus. That's where they tell them where Mansers come from. They come out of Uranus. Get it? Uranus? They come out of Uranus. That's where Mansers come from. Anyway. There's some East African niggers who do believe that they did come from the plant Dogon, and I'm not going to argue with them. Not going to argue with them that. No complaint. When was the first Manser golem created? The golem was created supposedly by this Jew this Jew in 1500 against this... Okay, change my channel groups to listeners. Okay. All right, I'm gonna try. I'm gonna go ahead and try. Okay. All right, okay. I'm trying. Here, hold on. In case, folks, where was I? I went ahead and stopped in order to change someone to where he could go ahead and chat. What you have is you have a bunch of people coming into Christian identity or white nationalism, and they want to change it to suit themselves. Be it Hatting, be it open gender bender, be it Brian Real, be it, you know, liar, build the clueless. And rather than go through the old-fashioned way of simply changing hearts and minds by convincing them that they're true, what they do is they go to somebody's web server, they go to somebody's web hosting company and whine about how what's being said on this particular server is racist. And it's against the terms of service, so you need to kick them off, you need to kick them out. Now, folks, the white man has a disadvantage when he's fighting against niggers and mamsers, because the white man does believe in freedom of speech, inherently. So what is he going to do? Become a total hypocrite and get these people to go, no, they love Hitler, they love this, they love that, here, kick them off too. And the answer is, you don't do things that way. The white man doesn't do things that way. Essentially, if you have a corporation or a government which disables the rights and privileges of white people, what you do is that you hold that corporation or you hold that government and you hold that corporation or that government's family members responsible for the misconduct of their fathers and mothers. And you hold them responsible even until the seventh generation. If you go ahead and violate the rights and privileges of white people to be white people simply because some Jew or Mamser or Whigger whines about it, essentially you have committed an act of treason. And as committing an act of treason, you and your entire family are responsible for committing that act of treason. And once you start executing, skinning alive, maiming, gelding, blinding, castrating, skinning, whatever, enough criminals to where they find out that this will not be tolerated, that having mamsers among you will not be tolerated, that having people who do not belong in the congregation of Israel shall not be tolerated, they won't tolerate it either. These people get by with this stuff because they get by with this stuff. They do evil because they're weak, greedy, stupid people. And folks, we cannot afford to have these people among us together forever. But the problem of it is that 90% of so-called whites are nothing more than Uyghurs. We have a Uyghur problem. And until the Uyghurs are disposed of with brutal efficiency, with ruthlessness, to where don't even think about being a Uyghur. Because if you do, and you get caught, and now the new regime is in power, to where they have to deal with you, well, tough luck for you. Don't be saying that all the other Uyghurs were doing it. In fact, being a Uyghur should be a death sentence. Now, am I going to carry it out? And the answer is no. The Great Tribulation and events will carry it out. Folks, if you're a Uyghur and you can't behave, that's because you are a Uyghur. You know what I mean? Well, Uyghur population is dwindling these days because Uyghurs don't have any sense. Uyghurs want to die. I'm looking at these Libyan rebels, and some of them seem to be Anglo-Mestizos, and most of them seem to be, well, brown-skinned people. What we would look like in about, 25, 50 years. They look a lot like Mexicans. They look a lot, well, unlike Mexicans, they seem to have plenty of beard hair, but they're mamsers of some sort. Should we care what they do in Libya? No. Should we interfere with that? No. What we should do, rather than interfere with the events that's going on in foreign countries, what we should do is that we should build up our own reserves. We should mine our own coal, create our own diesel. But folks, we can't do that as long as Mansers keep on, as long as Mexicans and non-whites keep creeping in and stealing it from the bottom, and Jews keep on coming in, and Jews keep on coming in to steal from the very top. So folks, what we need is a great tribulation. We need an end to that which ails us. And what ails us are Jews and Mansers being allowed to run wild by Quakers, by Shabbos Quakers. So folks, I'm going to go ahead and finish off this segment and probably this episode of Movement Toad. And folks, I hope you'll catch with me Thursday night. I probably will have a show unless I have to pull an all-nighter in order to file by Friday, April 1st. So, any case, I'm going to go ahead and call it quits and say, hail victory. May Yahweh bless. Good night.
The Jews are laid low on sogling necks. We stomp our boots to stamp out gusto. White men go, we vote ho on the city roof. Let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho on the court of laws. Let red blood flow. The regime must only love its greed. Hi-yi-oh-ho. The love of God our only need. Hi-yi-oh-ho.
white men go. We vote ho on the city roof. Let the red cock crow. White men go. Civil war ho on the courthouse lawn. Let red blood flow. We'll conquer for our cause's rights. Hi-yi-yo-ho. Our sons won't have to go and fight. Hi-yi-yo-ho. White men go. We vote ho on the city roof. Let the red cock crow. White men go. Civil war ho on the courthouse lawn. Let red blood flow.